welcome to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Tonight we offer episode 4. I would like to take some time here to remind our listening audience that if you enjoy the game that we are presenting and you would like to join or just leave us comments, you can email us at steamstillmurder@gmail.com. Steamstillmurder is all one word. Our current webpage can be found at obsidianportal.com, and just do a search there for Steam, Steel, and Murder. If you're looking for other actual play podcasts, please check out the Gutter Skypes. I am running a promo for them at the end of this podcast. Also, heroiccthulhu.com. That's heroic, H-E-R-O-I-C, Cthulhu, C-T-H-U-L-H-U, hosts a few different games, and one of our players, Marcus, has just started up a GURPS-powered post-apocalyptic game, and he's on there looking for players as well. And now, on with the actual play presentation. All right, well, welcome back to Steam, Steel, and Murder. This is episode 4, and tonight we've got Gable, Marcus, and Katie rejoins us. Gaetanos was scheduled, but he's down sick tonight, and I don't believe we've got any sharks online. Let's take a look real quick. Oh, we're sharked out, so just the three of you tonight. From episode 3, there were some things that possibly the party wanted to try and tie up. As a general theme to the game, I would prefer that any crime that you're attempting to solve be solved in the session, because between sessions, time will pass. It will not necessarily be the next day. For the last session, though, if you guys want to just give me a shot at what you would like to try, there are basically three things you could have done to solve the murder. And if you hit on any of the three here in our conversation in the next few minutes, we can solve it. Otherwise, it will be unsolved. And Marcus, yes, your character will probably have a vendetta against this guy. So, I'll open it up. What did you want to try and do, if anything? And you can just drop it. You did get paid for one case.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well, I mean, the only idea Marcus had was to ask about this guy's alibi.
The guy did have an alibi. His butler and through a few of his associates will say that he was at a party that evening in his home during the time that it potentially happened.
So he had friends to confirm that he was actually there?
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for your case, they are high enough in the guild hierarchy that unless you can prove they're lying, they're going to take their word on it.
Well, I also wanted to develop like a timeline talking to everyone like exactly what happened with the guy who died. I forget.
Now be specific with what you just asked. Timeline.
I want to know timeline for the day that he died, like from the morning, from the time he got up to the time he got home, and then when he left. We know generally when he left again, and then when he died. I want to know exactly what he did that
you
day.
You already have that information because you talked to the horror man, so that's the best estimation you can get on that man today, because being higher in the guild, he didn't have to sign in or out of anything. Yeah. So you have a timeline for him. Mr. Harris has an alibi that would place him not there during this time.
Okay, an alibi.
From what you found, I mean, the person that looks most guilty, who was the fall guy? Oh, Simon Gunderson.
Yeah, but Gunderson, like, what the hell?
Uh-huh. But from what you found so far, he's the most guilty.
What was his alibi?
Oh, he had no alibi. I mean, he basically admitted to collusion with this guy to try and help his promotion go easier and faster. You did get paid for actually finding that out. And you even placed him and the victim in the factory on the same day.
Screw Harris. It's probably bullshit. It was Gunderson. He's just lying.
if that's what you want to put in your your report, that's fine. The way this runs is, since everything is guild controlled and the city is basically owned by the guilds, you're not trying to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. You're supposed to just present the evidence you find along with your suggestion. And then from there, they will try or not try as they wish.
Well, if Harris has such a good alibi, then Gunderson was probably lying. He's guilty in my book. And that gives us another case solved.
If you want to put it on the report that way, you will indeed get paid for it.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
So you will make a paycheck regardless, whether or not you've got the right man.
I'll get another bonus for completed case.
You, however, will not get the experience for it.
Any ideas or Abel?
No, I really don't. Like, I was pretty out of it at the, I was just pretty beat at the end of the last session, yeah. So. Not super helpful.
Katie, you listened to the recording. Did you have any ideas that you wanted to trace down?
Not really. I don't know. I don't think they followed the right leads, but I don't remember off the top of my head anything that stuck out in particular.
Look who's armchair investigating over here.
Richard. I know Richard. I tried getting Richard, and he was like, well, do an alibi. Yeah, I did the alibi. The bastard has an alibi.
It sounded to me like the guy you guys talked to last seemed to be the most...
Yeah, but he has...
He's
a great alibi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, where does he live? The actual Harris live?
I believe I said he was in Division 1 or 2, which is kind of the higher rents area.
Yeah, I was just wondering if he was like, he had his own private place with someone who stands nearby or, you know, who can, like, I was going to go for the regular people and see what, if any of them saw, like, someone on the street nearby.
He had a flat. It was the entire level of an apartment complex. It was his own.
Harris?
Harris. He had a guild-owned apartment, so he did not have a house of his own.
So he had a guild-owned apartment. Is there a doormat? Oh, wait, the doorman would have gone off, like, at the time. But the guy was already there before the doorman. Okay, is there a doorman?
As far as you found, he has a rock-solid alibi. If you have to take it at face value that his friends are not lying to you.
His friends are probably lying. You have to find someone who's not his friend.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Which would be difficult, yes, because there was even the doorman to the apartment complex doesn't know anything. There could not place him going in or out of the building during a specific time. All right. Just
I
let
know
it go.
I'm missing something, and it's pissing me off.
I will post actually the timeline of everything that went on, so you can look at that later. But I think we're just going to carry on.
Greg Gunderson is guilty. I'll get the money and tell us what we needed to find. Mm-hmm. I'll just put a note under my for myself somewhere. Find Aaron. Watch Harris for guilty of anything else.
Very good. Abel, are you recording as well? I forgot to ask.
I am, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try my setup, which failed last night, so it may fail again today. All right, so we'll pick up with a new adventure this evening. The map that you're looking at on the screen is Airbauer Motors. The three of you are at Drina's place. Drina had invited you over for a get-together, perhaps. What reason would Drina have for inviting his co-workers over? You have a daughter maybe having a birthday? I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah, I'll say the twins are having their birthday problems.
All right.
It's their 11th.
Their 11th? Okay. You are at Drina's place then. Is Airbauer Motors part of where you live as well? Is it like next door, same building, or a separate building?
I mean, it's attached. Like, the house is next door.
Okay.
And then you have the garage and workshop, like, you know, the detached building.
Okay. You guys then, you're giving a tour of your garage facilities to your new coworkers. You have an elder daughter or an elder son that maybe works in the garage, one or the other?
Yeah. The oldest son is Christopher. He's 20, so he'll say he's working there.
All right. Christopher's over here in this back room. Yeah, he's doing some spot welding on car body. He's in a fender bender, and he's doing some repairs on it. You guys are in the lounge area. That's where your icons are now. This is kind of your reception room where you speak to your clients. You had stated before that Erbauer Motor is one of the reasons why people would come to you versus a guild-sponsored mechanic is that you give the personalized touch.
Darn toot.
Mm. Abel, if you want to kind of take over here for a bit and just kind of describe to us the atmosphere of Erbauer Motors, what the garage looks like, look and feel.
Sure, this place has got this sort of organized chaos. You know, it's birthday parties going on, so the garage bay doors are open, and there's, you know, ribbons and things are covered with the colorful cloths. And there's some chips and dip, and a few people, you know, a few of the parents standing around drinking beer. Parents always seem to do when they get together, you know. And some seems to be like this something about child raising just makes you want to crack a beer every once in a while. And lots of kids are running around. The twins, that their names are Harry and Sookie, by the way. They just turned 11, and they're having a good old time. You know, there's a little this little radio in the corner playing some music, and right now all the projects are sort of pushed off to one side. So all the customers' cars are just on their repairs are on hold for the afternoon as we handle the kids.
Okay. You guys are just kind of hanging out over here in Drina's place then. This is Harry and Suki over here at the entrance to Erbauer Motors, and they're kind of playing around. As you're showing off the place, a woman stumbles in through the front door, surprising your kids a bit. And she gets a few feet inside the door frame here, and your kids kind of scatter. They're actually crying and running towards you. And the woman falls down on the ground. She appears to be bleeding.
Okay. That sucks. Is anybody a doctor?
No.
No.
I see.
Oh, dear. I run over to...
Where's Wraithbone when you need him sometimes? he's completely worthless, but when we actually need him, he's not here.
What did he say? He was a doctor of psychology. Still makes him worthless.
No, he seems to know basic medical aid. Check the vitals. Come on, put some pressure.
You go over there, and it looks like the woman has been shot several times. She's bleeding out on your not-so-clean floor there, Drina. As you turn her over to examine her, though, it's Elizabeth. It's your caseworker with the police.
Is she conscious?
Barely. She's breathing. Oh, dear. You can tell that she's breathing, but she's fading fast.
Call a doctor! Call emergency!
What happened?
She looks up. Her eyes are glazed and seem to be unfocused. She's slurring something to you. You can't quite make out what she's saying. And
I'm dropping a fade chip to declare that the parents of one of the kids at the party, like one of the moms there, is in fact a surgeon.
Okay. And she'll run over and take a look at Elizabeth. She starts yelling at everybody, "Get me some water boiling. I need some clean linens. Clean, Drina. Clean, not oil covered."
God damn it, this is a garage, not a laundromat.
She starts in working on Elizabeth. She's ripping part of her shirt off. Apparently she's been shot. Those of you that are still standing around her, she's taken one to the shoulder, looks like one to her leg, and one in the stomach.
Wow, you're saying she's actually been shot?
Yes.
As a projectile firearm?
Right. Ballistic firearms are not only illegal, but they're very hard to obtain in Metapol.
That's what I remember.
Right, yeah. I'm shouting at Christopher to get some water boiling, and I'm rushing upstairs to the only place there'll be clean linens is in the house. Mm-hmm. I'll say the doctor's name is that.
Right.
Jim Michelson.
Hey. Your boy that was doing the spot welding on the car is getting some water heated rapidly with his tools, and he runs on out. And
save any of those projectiles if you can when you dig them out of her. Maybe we can tell where they came from.
I'm sorry, lady. I don't have any tools to do any surgery on her. The best I can do is to keep her from bleeding out. If I ever get those cloth, where are they? Oh, thanks for the water.
I'm running to get the linens.
Well, you need clean, and this is a garage, so I'm guessing he's probably going to the neighbors.
I have to run next door, go up the stairs to the bedroom. There are no clean linens in a garage.
One of your children does phone who? Who do you want them to call?
Gee, I mean, is there an emergency service?
There's emergency services.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's a cop, you know. I make sure to say, tell an officer down, because that usually gets results.
Sure enough, one of your children's on the phone. They're getting your address and all the information. And they're sending someone out as soon as they can. Seems to be that your doctor is able to at least stabilize her. She's unconscious right now, and says that, well, her breathing is it's really shallow. She's got a pulse, but it's not very strong. If we can get her some medical attention fast enough, she may make it, but it's touch and go.
Well, what do you need?
Tools that I don't have here.
Right, the only thing we'd have here are auto tools, which are not helpful, and like basic household stuff.
She essentially says, "Well, I mean, I need blood. She's lost a lot of blood. It's not something I carry around in my purse." She did manage to fish out a scalpel and is doing some cleaning up around the wounds, but she doesn't want to pull the bullets out as it might cause more bleeding. Adrina, as you get back and she's filling you in on the situation, you guys do hear the sound of sirens in the background and coming to a screeching halt. This is like 3 minutes after your child was on the phone. There is an ambulance outside. Three swarthy young men come in with a stretcher and kind of bark out to everybody to get out of the way. And they go to work on her. One of them has some blood out. In a plasma bag, and they put her on a stretcher, and they start working on her. One of them's put a mask on her face, and it's got this little plastic bulb on the end, and he's squeezing the end of it. And quickly and quite professionally, they're able to get her up on a stretcher, and they start taking her out to...
Which hospital are you going to?
The one just down the street here. That's why we got here so quick. When we got the call, we were just across the street getting some donuts.
Thank God there's a donut shop nearby. Otherwise, who knows what might have happened.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Let me come with you. I want to ride in the thing with them.
Are you family?
I can't.
One of the guys asked if you're family.
Yes. I'm her cousin.
Okay. give me a roll there.
four times?
You just click the little button that says 4D fudge.
Yeah, just once?
Yeah, just once. That rolls four dice, and then you take your skill and add it to that zero, which is good, which means you've got a positive number.
Is this a deception roll?
Yes.
Because I don't have a deception. And I just got a zero.
Okay, well, do you have persuasion or rapport?
I have rapport.
Okay, what is your rapport score?
Two.
That's fine. He seems to be in such a hurry, and he's really focused on trying to make sure this woman lives that he takes your word at face value and allows you into the back of the ambulance.
Okay. Good deal.
Is anyone else going?
I'll follow behind on foot after I go by the donut shop.
It's a few blocks away. You know, you certainly can get there. Drina?
I can't go until, I mean,
you gotta
obviously
up
the party's over, but yeah, we
we're going to need to.
I need at least a half hour to make sure everybody's okay and probably drive some kids home. So
You do that. I'm gonna follow her blood trail after I get me a donut. Okay. after I get me a donut.
If you guys see the little, there's a globe at the top of the screen that looks like a world map at the top right. If you click on that, one of the boards says playing board. Okay, I'm going to be throwing chips onto this board, okay?
Okay.
Wait, what are we looking at?
At the top right of your screen, you've got like a little globe.
Globe, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of the playing surface. Whenever I throw you guys fate chips, I'm going to throw them out on this board, and I'll name them so you know who they go to.
Okay.
And then you can just update your character sheet. I'm going to fiddle around with it a bit more so that we'll automatically update it. But for right now, this is how it'll work. And you can flip back and forth on the board just by going up to that little globe symbol at the top. For our listeners out there, we're using map tools tonight. Nice piece of software. Okay, let's go on the ambulance first. Katie, there's two guys up front driving. One in the back is continuing to pump that device that's on her face, just kind of getting her out, airways open. And we've got blood going into her, plasma, actually. I should say the type yet. And she seems to be pretty worried. Pretty tight back here, but there's just enough room for you as well.
Okay, is she still unconscious?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm talking to the EMT. How does she look? Do you think she's going to be okay?
Luckily, the hospital's really close. I think once we get her into surgery, she'll be okay. I don't know. I mean, she's lost a lot of blood. It's been a long time since I've seen a gunshot, let alone three. Who is this lady?
She's my cousin. That's who she is. That doesn't matter. When was the last time that you saw bullet wounds, gunshot wounds?
Oh, to be honest, it was only when I was going through training to be an EMT. I've never actually gone and saw someone that's been shot. I mean, it was just in the training. We don't see this.
I know they're rare. They're not even allowed in the city. She must not have gone very far, so she must have been shot nearby. You said you were only a few blocks away at the donut shop. Did you hear anything?
No, the city's kind of wild this time of day, and it's just like just afternoon. No, we didn't really hear anything.
I'm assuming that seeing as we don't normally hear gunfire, this would be a fairly distinct pop sound.
Something you do know, though, I mean, just living in this part of town, there is an awful lot of industrialization with very large, loud machines. So the background noise level of the city is usually quite high. But yes, a gunshot would be an unusual sound, and he doesn't remember hearing anything like that.
You didn't know fireworks or nothing like that? You didn't hear any of those kinds of sounds?
He kind of looks a little embarrassed. It's like, no, sorry, we're watching the latest game and eating donuts at the time, and we weren't paying much attention to anything. And it was our lunch break. I was on lunch, lady. Come on.
don't worry about it. We'll just let's make sure we can get her to the hospital in enough time so we can find out what happened.
Almost as soon as your conversation stops, the ambulance comes to a screeching halt at the front of the hospital, and he quickly just unbolts the door and asks you to hop out so that he can start pulling the stretcher out. The other two guys come around, and they start following her into the hospital. You're following behind?
Yes.
Okay. They're just quickly, the nurses at reception desk just kind of wave them through. They do stop you, though, and say, we're sorry this has happened to your relative. They'll take really good care of her. If you want to wait here in the waiting room, we'll keep you updated. But they're taking her into surgery. We can't let you go back there.
Okay. Fine. How long do you think the surgery will last?
The nurses, I didn't get a good look at her, but they called in to say that it was a really bad gunshot wound. It may take some time. If you'd come over here, please. And she takes you over to the nurse's station and pulls out a little clipboard that's got about a half an inch thick worth of paperwork. Could you please fill this out for us so we know who it is and what your relationship to her is? And if you can sign here on page 3 and here on page 9 and initial here on... This goes on for a bit. I'm going to cut scene. All right. Yeah. Back at Air Bauer Motors.
All right.
Blood trail. Yes, there is an obvious blood trail going to the front of Air Bauer Motors. To the left side of the map on the screen there is kind of an alleyway between your shop and the shop next door, which is a bakery. Not the same one that the guys were eating donuts in.
Grab me some bread.
The blood trail leads through the alleyway. Looking at this part of town, the opposite end of the alleyway is where you go down into the pneumatic subway system. So, like, the entrance way is at the end, the far end. I mean, you have to cross the street. It's not like the alley butts up right against it.
Yeah. So she just got off the pneumatic. Does the blood trail go down into the pneumatic, or is it in the street?
No, it seems to about halfway through the alley is where it starts, and there's quite a bit of disturbance. The alley is kind of choked with trash cans that are kind of overflowing with garbage. Tomorrow is garbage day, so it's been out here for almost
a week.
Doesn't smell too bad at all because, you know, Drina's shop, the overpowering smell of... oil and other combustible fluids, and then you've got the bakery next door, so it's actually not a bad smell.
I look up to see if there's any place that you could stand up.
No, you see a couple of windows above you. Drina's side doesn't have any, as an auto shop. It's kind of sealed off in case anything explodes or goes wrong in there. The bakery side has one window that looks like it's got a shutter on the outside that's been closed.
Okay. I'll come back to the alleyway. I'm going to go into the bakery to see if they heard anything.
While you're out here, though.
I figured I would investigate it, do a cursory inspection, and then come back and do a thorough investigation after I talk to the bakery.
Okay, so if you're just going to do a quick look then, and that's what you get on the quick look, then you're going to go next door to the bakery?
Yeah.
Okay. Gina, what are you up to?
Well, after I finish comforting the kids because a bleeding, shot-up woman staggered into their birthday party, I'm going to go ahead and join Marcus.
Okay. By the time you're done with that, Marcus is across the street to the bakery next door. You actually know the owner quite well, as he seems to have a fondness for your children, and he gives them baked sweets all the time, which you have to take back from them, because otherwise your lovely little daughters are going to be 200-pound heifers before too long.
Adrina, I believe she got shot in the alleyway. The blood trail starts there, and I point down the alleyway. I was going to investigate the alleyway after talking with the bakery person to see if she heard or if he heard anything.
This is Zeppo's bakery. Zeppo is the head baker and owner, and he comes out to greet you. He was behind the counter wiping off his hands as he was working on some dough there. Not too many people here right now. There's a few couples in some of the chairs. It's a fairly small business. There's like five tables and then kind of like a bar right up against where they do the baking in the back, so you can kind of watch them perform their craft. And there's maybe 10 of those stools, so it's a fairly small place. He makes most of his money by delivering baked goods to different businesses. Mm-hmm. But Zeppo comes out around. Oh, Miss Ehrbauer, how are you today?
I would be fine, except in the background you hear the wailing of the twins as their brothers and sisters try to comfort them. Things would have been fine if a bleeding woman riddled with bullets hadn't staggered up my driveway and interrupted my kid's party. But I'm fine. How are you?
Oh my. Do we need to call the police? I thought I heard some sirens earlier.
I thought didn't we cover that? The calling emergency?
I'm sorry. I'm distracted today. We have a really large order that needs to be delivered later this afternoon. But what can I do for you?
Did you happen to hear any loud bangs while you were, working? What's in towards the area I point where the area of the building where the window is?
Actually, you can see it since you've got that open area behind the bar. And all of his big dough machines are back there clinking away.
You didn't happen to hear anything over the dough machines, did you?
Did you hear anything like what?
A loud bang?
Maybe. How long ago do you think? Somewhere around noonish or so, I heard something in the back alley, but I thought they were just maybe moving around the trash cans. There's bums back there all the time, moving around. Zeppo has a heart. I leave them some food occasionally. I figured it was just them rooting around.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What time is it now?
It's like one-ish.
And he's talking about 12:30 because with her injury, she wouldn't have lived very long. Mm-hmm. I mean, she barely made it across the street.
Yeah, so it's been about 5-10 minutes though.
Exactly. Anything longer than that, and she would have been gone.
Are you discussing this in front of him between the two of you?
Yeah, I'll say yeah, sure.
Okay.
What is his reaction?
Well, he just tells you that I can't be sure of the time. I was involved with the bread making. The last time I happened to look at the clock, that's what time it was. I can't be any more precise.
You said you were taking a large order. May I ask generally for who?
Oh, sure. It's the youth committee across, the big building that just got put up a few months ago across the street with all those poor children that don't have mothers or fathers because, of the war that's going on right now.
Yes, yes. It's unfortunate.
This is like an orphanage?
Yeah.
We're talking about this.
Yeah, they just hold on to the children until they can find families to place them, or they become old enough that they can go and either start their apprenticeship with the guilds or a higher education if they qualify for the tests.
Okay, I kind of turn around, I look at him and go, "Do you mind if I ask your patrons if they may have heard anything about 10-15 minutes ago?"
Oh, you can. He points at one guy in the back corner that's kind of nursing a big mug. He's the only one that was here during that time. These guys just came in a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Shall we go ask him, Drina?
We should.
All right. I'm going to cut back to the hospital. All right, Katie. The nurse has sat you down with a clipboard filled with paperwork and an ink pen. You there, Katie?
Of course not.
Did we lose it?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
She muted her mic.
Oh, okay.
Hey, take a drink, everyone who's listening. You can play in a drinking game.
All right, so what was I saying? Okay, well, I guess I take the paperwork, and is it just a standard medical history type?
Yeah, just name, address, age, sex, just basic stuff. And then there's one form that's supposed to tell who you are in relation to the person.
Okay. Well, I guess I start pretending to fill out this paperwork because honestly, I don't know this information about this woman.
Well, you know her name and who she works for. You probably don't know her address.
Yeah. So I fill out to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And on the page about me, I'm a cousin from out of town. And we haven't seen each other since we're kids. And to kind of make up for the fact that I don't know much about her other than that. And I guess I wait for her to come out of surgery. And I just kind of keep an eye on who's coming and going and where they're going.
About half an hour from when they took her in, you've been sitting on the couch there in the reception room filling out the paperwork. An orderly comes out from the surgery room, and he's got blood on his clothes and everything. But he comes out, and he's holding what looks like a manila envelope. It's also kind of soaked in blood. And he's putting it into kind of a plastic baggie. And he comes over to you and says, I'm sorry, ma'am. Are you the one who brought her in?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And may I ask your name, please?
Samantha Jenkins.
Okay, Ms. Jenkins. Well, we got at the vacation. This is apparently Miss Elizabeth Blair that works for the police. We found this inside her suit coat. Wasn't shot, but it's soaked in blood. What is your official status? Do you work for the police yourself, or are you just a member of her family?
I pull out my identification for the police. Yes, I'm affiliated with police. So please continue.
That's perfect. Thank you. He hands over the baggie to you and says, I'm not quite sure what to make of this. If you are working under some official capacity with the police, if you could take care of this, I'm a little hesitant to really get involved with it myself. But he pulls out a small clipboard that was kind of attached to his hip there and says, if you could just sign here that you received this package, just, you know, keep myself getting into any kind of trouble. If you don't mind. He looks a little nervous, actually.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is it an actual, like, line, chain of custody type thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I signed for it, and I would like to examine the contents of this envelope.
Okay. It's manila envelope. That's got the old-style kind of string wrap that goes around, you know, the little eyelet. And inside is about $1,500 worth of script of money.
Is that's it? That's in there?
That's all that's in there.
And I'm... Okay. So I guess I put this back inside the envelope, back inside the baggie, and put it inside my purse. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of money. Why does she carry around this money? Are things I'm thinking and I'd like to discuss with my coworkers as soon as they come to the hospital.
After you've signed and taken a look what's in there, and he's kind of like watching your expression when you see what's in there, and he says, well, Miss Blair is stable. She's in a coma right now. She's lost a lot of blood, but we do have her stabilized. We'll keep you updated if you give us a way to contact you, but we really don't know how it's going to go.
Is she in a recovery room?
Well, no, they're still patching her up in there, finishing sewing up. We did retrieve the bullet rounds from the hole, the holes in her.
I'd like to have those in my possession as well.
Okay, if you give me a few minutes, and he walks back into the surgery. 10 minutes later, he brings out another baggie, and there are three bullets inside.
Okay. Thank you. Please let me know as soon as she's taken to a recovery room. I'll be out here waiting.
Okay.
I'm supposing I would know anything about bullets. Do I know anybody who would know anything about bullets?
That's actually a hard thing because almost the only people that would have any experience with actual ballistic firearms would be military.
Okay.
Especially in Metapol, everything is, it's going to be either tasers or that type of, or electric stun guns, that sort of thing. It's really only used for military purposes. And of course, your airplanes have machine gun mounts on them because they don't have access to enough power to use electrical gun.
Okay.
But these bullets are much too small to be, from an aircraft.
Okay. Would my contact, Joshua Dare, the person from the Transportation Guild, know anybody? Could I call him?
Yeah, you can try. He's not really military, but he might know
somebody. No, but he might know somebody. Mm-hmm. Gonna tap his contacts.
Okay. Give me a contact roll, and let's see how available he's going to be to you today.
Oh, gross.
Wow!
-2.
-2. You must have stood him up or something. He's not taking your call today.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Now, you can spend a fate chip to... you have an aspect that might work for... you have several, actually, that would probably come into play.
Well, I have the face of an angel. How could he not forgive me?
Upset.
Obviously, you've just gotten a hold of a secretary. If she talks to you directly, well then, if you want to spend a chip and tap that, you can either re-roll or add a +2. You'll need to re-roll, though, to actually have a chance of success there.
Yeah. I'm going to re-roll with my face of an angel.
Ooh, there we go.
Oh, much better. Now I have a 3.
Okay, very good. Yes, in fact, that's exactly what happened. You got through to his secretary, who was being a little icy with you, but he overhears the conversation and picks up the phone directly. Samantha, it's been weeks. How are you?
Joshua, darling, I must get straight to the point. I'm kind of in a bind. Can you come meet me at the hospital at this location?
Oh, are
I'd
you okay?
Rather not talk over the phone.
Certainly. I'll be there directly.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Make sure you take off your fate chip on your character.
Okay,
back to Airbauer Motors. The man in the corner, who's nursing his mug of some hot beverage, kind of looks up at you as you come over. Looks like he's had a hard life. He doesn't look old, but he looks worn. Clothes are a little shabby, but he's keeping them well. You can tell they've been repaired several times, patched up. They're workers' garb. His face is very heavily lined, and it's very weather-bitten as well. He just kind of stares at you as you walk up to him.
I see, so, did you guys hear anything in the last half hour or so?
Who am I talking to? The cop?
No. I'm a local business owner. I own the motor works across the street there. And a friend of mine just having a little party with the kid. I don't lie. I love it with him. Like, yeah, I'm just local here. I've got a business to run, I'm not with the guilds, I'm not a big player, just I had a party with my kids were there, and this woman shows up, all shot up, and scares the crap out of everybody, and just want to know if she couldn't have gone very far. I mean, do you hear anything or see anything?
Give me a report roll.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah,
ooh, like
nice.
6.
Yeah. Apparently, it's your frank honesty with him kind of sprays him, and he nods over to the chair across from him, as if to say, "Take a seat."
Sure, take a seat.
As well, been around the city not very long. I've only been here for a few months now. I just got back from the front not too long ago. Spent some time in the military and. I know the sound of a gunshot when I hear it. So is that what you're looking for, lady? Yeah, I heard it.
And how many did you hear?
At least 2. Might have been more.
I mean, did you? Could you tell if it was like from a rifle or a handgun or anything like that?
Small caliber weapon. Not a rifle. Sound wasn't loud enough. So he kind of tilts his head out to the alley, and you've actually got a pretty good look at the end of the neck of the alley from where the man's sitting.
Did you see anything?
He says, about the time I heard those shots not too long afterwards, there's one of those street bums that are in that alley over there looking for a free meal. Saw one of them running out. Had something in his hand. Don't know what it was. Now, I don't like to pry into other people's business, and cops aren't always the nicest people.
You ain't kidding. Oh, did you see which way he went? Did he go straight, left, right?
I came running out of that alley, and he took a hard left down the street there, kind of points. Lost track of him, though, after that. Really my business.
Thanks for the information. Here's some money for another beer, another drink.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Only one thing, though. Was there any kind of fight beforehand? I mean,
I didn't see him down the alley. I just heard the shots and saw the man running out the end.
It's a little loud up there for hearing anything else.
Just, I've been around the sound of gunfire. It's a distinctive sound you don't hear in these cities.
It's all right. What's your name, soldier?
Now he kind of looks at you suspiciously. Call me Bob. Well, that's about all you're going to get out of me.
Well, Bob, do you know anything about engines?
Not really. I was an infantry man. Hello?
Hello.
There we go. Looks like we all got dropped there. You back, Marcus?
Hold on for a second. The recording got everything. It's going to take like 30 seconds, and then we'll start a new one and pick it up.
Sure. Invite Marcus back there. Marcus, you back? Anyone there?
I'm here.
Okay. Abel's restarting the recording, so he'll be quiet for a bit. Since we lost Marcus, though.
There he is. The computer decided to have fun and for no particular reason decided to go into hibernate. Oh, even though it was plugged in, I guess something was loose.
Okay. We're pausing for just a minute while Abel gets his recording going again.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I can.
All right, so he tells you that he worked infantry, didn't have a lot of, doesn't know a lot about automobiles.
That's fine. I say, tell you what, Bob, you come by the shop here. I'm sure you could use a little extra work. So you come by the shop around, say, 6 o'clock, 3 days from now, and you ask for Drina. And, we'll hook you up. We can always use somebody else to help clean up. And you might learn a little trade there if you want. If you don't come, then that's fine, too.
He actually looks up at you, and he takes his hat off and stands up and offers you his hand.
Sure, and I shake his hand.
I'll be there. Appreciate it. It's been hard finding a job.
No problem. So, I do need to know your real name.
And you're not police, huh? Not that I'm wanted by the police for anything, but you understand, a lot of us boys got out of the military in a fashion that
all right.
It wasn't necessarily right and proper.
Well.
But Marigold, Bob Marigold.
Well, then, as long as now you give me your word that I understand, if things got a little tough and maybe you left or had a chance to come back, that's fine. As long as it's nothing more serious than that, then we're fine. If you give me your word that that's all it is, then no problem.
I give you my word, man. He's got his hat in his hand there. He's kind of looking down. I never caused no problems. I just couldn't take the war anymore.
Okay, then that's it. Then I'll see you in a couple days.
Goes back to stop.
And I think that's it.
All right. Where are you guys going next?
I need to see what's happening with Elizabeth Blair. So
you go to the hospital. I'm going to check out that alley and look for the bum because I don't want him to get too far away.
That's a good point. In fact, all right, actually, you're right. Let's hop in the car.
How about you look for the bum? I'll check out the alley to see if there's anything else that might actually still be there. Although I doubt it. I figured once I learned about the bums had taken some key piece of evidence away.
Yeah, could be.
Stupid bums. Probably took the gun.
No problem. Hold on. I grab my second son, Fedor, and I say, look, just hang out with Marcus here. Don't do anything dumb. Just stand by the alley. Make sure nobody bothers him. And if there's any trouble, then you run back to the shop and you call for help.
He grabs his wrench that's just a little smaller than your own wrench, taps it, smacks his palm with it, and says, not a problem, Mom.
Yeah, there you go. I just don't want you to be all by yourself. So don't get into any fights. Don't do anything stupid.
I'm not that type of person.
And looking for this bum.
Don't worry, I'm not Wraithbone.
Oh, be easy on Wraithbone. He does a good job.
He's not here, so he can't defend himself.
He was okay at medicine. I'll give him that.
Let's do the alley real quick. Marcus, what I'm going to have you do is, since this is an active search of the area, give me an investigation roll, and let's see how you do.
Superb success. 5 levels.
Oh, very good. You basically seen there was a disturbance here. There's a lot of blood on the trash, and as you're kind of picking around where most of the blood fell, you find Elizabeth's purse.
Mm-hmm. Goody. You can root around through that. Does the purse look like it was looked? Before I look through it, does it look like someone looked through the purse?
Oh, yes. It looks like it's been rifled through. There's still things in it, but most people carry like a money pouch. Since the scripts are fairly large, the bills are very large. So this is a very common thing to have one, and there's not one in her purse. But there's a lot of other things in there.
Okay, I'll look at the other things. The bum took the money. Got it. Mm-hmm. Just have to check it, though, to make sure there wasn't any stupid pieces of papers in it. Okay, rifle through the purse, see what else is in there.
Some pocket change, some crumpled up, like memos to herself. You go through some of them and they're just things like pick up some milk on the way home, need eggs, don't forget to feed the cat, that sort of thing. You notice her IDs are gone.
Son of a bitch. Her IDs are gone. That means it was probably still. Do people normally carry their IDs with their money, like in a wallet?
The police IDs are actually they've got like a leather kind of holster, you know, like you always flash.
Mm-hmm.
So she has one of those. You know she does, and she should be carrying it with her. Of course, it could be with her too. You never really go through her pockets or anything.
Yeah, could be with her. Could be stolen. I'll have to ask Katie about that, see if she had it. If she doesn't, that'd be bad, because that means someone could have a police ID. Okay, I think Abel was going to go down the alley. I mean, was going after the bum, and I was going to try and catch up to him.
Okay.
After I looked around through the alley to see if I find anything else interesting in the alley besides
the
verse?
That's really all that you notice in the alley.
Okay, I look at the kid and go, okay, put this in a clean bag. And I mean a clean bag, not from the garage.
Of course. Kind of looks at you irritated like you're talking down to him. All right, back in the hospital, Samantha. You're sitting down in the room, the foyer there for a little bit longer. And you see that they are pushing her out on a rolling bed, and they're moving her down the hallway. the same physician that talked to you before comes in and tells you, well, we're gonna move Miss Blair down to our critical care ward. We still don't know how well she's going to pull through it. She's in a coma right now. We've done all we can for her. It's just up to her at this point, but she'll have constant supervision. There'll be a nurse in there with her 24/7 to make sure she doesn't get worse. He gives you a brown paper bag and says, this is Miss Blair's clothing and everything that was on her. We thought that maybe you might need it.
All right. Is there a room or an office where I can kind of set up shop?
Sure. I won't be using my office. You're free to use mine. And he walks you down the hall. It's fairly small, a small room, but it's got a desk and it's private. And he says, there's a points to an earpiece on the desk there. There's a switchboard. If you need to make a call out, just pick it up and an operator will be able to connect you with where you need to go. Use it for as long as you need to. I'll be here for another 4 or 5 hours. Then I'll be heading home. If you need to get a hold of me, and he pulls out his calling card, you can find me at this address and this extension.
Okay. Where is Miss Blair's room compared to here?
It's actually at the opposite end of the hall that you're on now.
Okay. Well, thank you, Doctor. I'll be in touch. What's his name?
Eric Morant.
Okay. All right. On your way out, could you tell the nurse that when Joshua Dare arrives to send him straight to me?
Will do.
Thank you, Doctor. Okay.
He heads out. Set up shop in the room.
Yeah, I'm going to clear off his desk.
There's actually very little on it. You don't think he actually uses it very often. Notice that there's like a fold-up military-style cot in the corner. The man probably sleeps here quite often.
Okay. Well, I would like to clear off his desk and then dump out the belongings bag and go through her belongings.
Mm-hmm. It's a woman's suit coat, a pair of shoes that are not fashionable, but something that would be used for someone that walks a lot or has a profession where they stand a lot. Dark colored slacks, underwear, and a brightly colored shirt. And they're all just kind of, they're just stained with blood. You do notice that the bullet hole where she was shot in the leg was on the back of her leg. She was shot from behind. The other two were from the front.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
But there's nothing else in the bag. No identifications, no money pouch, nothing else. While you're going through the clothing, you get a knock on the outside door.
I guess I answer.
Joshua's standing there. He looks very concerned. He says, oh, you're all right.
Yes, Joshua.
I was coming to the hospital because you were in need. What's going on?
I fill him in on the fact that our police handler has been attacked and she's gravely wounded. And I pull out the bullets. And, dear Joshua, this is what I need your help with. Do you know anybody who would be able to give us shed some light on what kind of bullets these are, where they're from, and who might have them?
He takes the baggie from you and says, well, I don't know a lot about firearms myself, but we have some specialists in our department that handle this type of weaponry for airplanes. They would probably know where these bullets were manufactured or anything else they could possibly tell us. I'll have to take them, though. But yes, I think I can help you with this.
Joshua, darling, do you think that you could get your expert to come here and look at them? Perhaps seeing the wound might help them as well. I don't know. I don't want to. My goal is not to have them leave my possession.
Give me a rapport roll here.
a 2.
Well, you understand I'd be doing this for you as a favor, and while I'm certainly able to do this, I will be taking these men off of their work for us. I think I can manage it, but it won't be until later this evening. Any sooner than that, I'll have to answer for why these men weren't working on their projects.
All right.
But it can be done.
You're quite wonderful, Joshua. I truly appreciate your help.
Then you have the moment where he takes your hand and says, for a moment there on the phone, I thought perhaps...
And oh, Joshua, don't be silly. Yeah.
This is about to turn into a bodice ripper in a sec.
he leaves and tells you that he will send his laboratory men by as soon as he's able to, but probably not any sooner than this evening, 5-6 o'clock, which is just a few hours away.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. You're an angel.
Yes, he it's all flushed and bashful and loose. And back on the other side of things. Oh, I'm sorry, Katie, did you want to do something else with the clothes? You were going to say something before you knocked on the door.
She doesn't have anything in her pockets. Nothing?
No.
No strange powders or residues or anything like that? Stains that might be
uncomfortable. Give me an investigation. You have it, if not just...
I got a 1.
A total of a positive 1?
Yes.
Okay, nothing really odd, no stains other than the blood. One thing you do note, though, is that it's in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, Officer Blair should have been dressed in professional attire. This is casual attire.
Okay. Can I call her... some of her coworkers.
Sure, you can call the precinct.
Yeah, I call the precinct to see if she was scheduled to work today or if she'd taken time off.
Sure. You are known there since you've done enough work for the police and the guilds, and you're put right through to the front desk, and Mr. Fredericks, or Freddie, he's the chief of police in this district, answers. And, well, what can I do for you, Miss Jenkins? Are you on a case?
Well, I suppose I am. I am actually at the hospital. Miss Blair has been injured.
Oh my. How, is she all right? Can I speak to her? What happened?
She's been shot by projectiles and she's in a coma at the moment. She's stable but in a coma. And I would like to discuss some of my preliminary findings. Was she supposed to be working today?
She was, but perhaps if this is an investigation, you should come down or I should come there. This is best not discussed over a phone line.
I would appreciate if you could come down to me. I have some things you might want to take a look at.
I will be there in half an hour. I need that time to get my position here covered, but I will be there.
All right. We'll see you then, Freddie.
Okay, back at the garage. Drina, you were doing what while... you there, Abel?
Can you hear me?
Yes, barely. Okay, so your companion went down the alleyway with your brutish son and wrench in tow, and you were doing what?
Okay, I am hopping in the car... and following our, it hasn't been that long. I'm going to try to drive around a bit and see if I can't find somebody with the description that Robert gave.
All right, I mean, this is a fairly busy street. I mean, you want to just stop someone on the street and ask if they've seen someone matching this description?
Okay. What will... do. Crap. Do I want to do anything about this? Like, fate chip wise. No. No, I don't think so. But, I guess, yeah, I'll ask. Why not? I'll at least... I'll drive down and see if I can find a few folks that I know. If I stop and ask him, yeah.
Yeah, this is your block. I mean, you do business here, so sure, you're able to find some people on the street corner that you know.
Yeah.
The Pattersons are out taking their children for some ice cream today.
Luna. All right,
Dad. They wave you down.
Sure, I pull up and say, yeah, have you seen a guy, you know, there's some tools on the ground there at the workshop, and, you know, one of these guys are hard up. They came by and he snatched it and ran off. Have you ever seen anybody with this description?
You like one of those bums that hang out by Zeppo's down that alley? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, maybe half an hour ago, came running down this way.
Oh, really? Did you see where he went?
He hit the intersection here. I'm not sure where he went from there. They kind of look in that direction, and you know that direction as well. There's the social centers down that way, and that's kind of where people that are, you know, down on their luck will go to get aid and find a place to sleep overnight when it gets cold, or, you know, they get roused by the cops to get off the street. Other than that, there's not a lot else down that way. So a few more businesses. If you go much further, though, you get another entrance to the pneumatic subways.
Let's see. All right. I'm going to follow a hunch here. I'm going to head back to Zeppo's. And I'm going to ask him if he is done with any of his order for the community center.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just about wrapping it up here.
Actually, I'm going to deliver this here.
Well, you don't have to do that, Drina.
No. Trust me. This is for the best.
Okay. Well, it's already paid for. Just ask Francis at the front desk, and he'll take it from you.
Okay. Not a problem, Francis. And I grab the I leave the ranch and take the cannoli. But I take the cannolis and headed down the street back to the community center.
All right. Before you get too far out of Zeppo's, though, you're. Companion meets back up with you with Sun in tow. He's just finished with the alley.
I found a purse. I'm pretty sure that the bum stole the wallet and maybe the police ID. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to make sure to check he has. I'm not sure if... Well, we may want to check up on our compatriot at the hospital. Because she may have the actual ID, and we may not be looking for the police ID.
Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. You're a little quiet, but I can hear you.
Okay. Can you? I just don't want you to hear me typing. That's annoying.
You mean like that?
Yes, exactly like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust the mic stand to...
I really don't care.
But, the more important, the police ID, is there anything special about it? Does it give you access to anything special?
Well, the thing about the police ID is there's, since photographs really aren't any better than the old sepia tones, there's no photograph with it. So you have basically a black wallet with a police shield in it. And,
right.
You know,
so it's essentially a badge with the... Like a serial number and a name, like, you know, Detective Sergeant Blair or whatever. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. No problem. I tell Fedor Jr. To go back to the shop and get everything. I guess everybody should be breaking stuff down from the party. And I'm taking the cannolis to the community center.
All right. Daniel, are you going with, or are you going to the hospital? What are you doing?
I'll go with Drina, since this will probably be more useful information.
Okay, good enough.
I was trying to think. Do you think we should at least call the hospital before we go?
Yeah, we should probably do that. That would be a good idea. Call it, see what she's up to.
Fine. I call up the hospital and ask about Elizabeth Blair.
Okay. Back at the hospital, Samantha, the phone rings on the desk.
Hello.
This is the hospital operator. We have a call coming in for Samantha Jenkins from Adrena Ehrbauer.
Yes, please put it through right away.
You hear some clicks on the line. And there you go.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Drina, I can hear you.
Okay. We seem to have found some evidence. We got some leads on what might have happened to Ms. Blair. By the way, what is Elizabeth's rank?
She's lieutenant.
Okay.
All right. Well, I have some things I'd like to share and discuss, but I would rather not over the phone.
Yeah, me neither.
So,
say before those joining our show already in progress.
So, if you would please come as soon as you are able.
Okay, we'll do. In case anything happens, we are headed to the community center, the new place they built down the street from the Motor Works. So.
All right, I shall be here. I have a couple things in the work that I need to be here for.
Okay. So, yeah, after that...
Don't forget to ask about the IDs.
What about the IDs?
See if it was on her, in her personal possessions, instead of in her purse.
Oh, yeah. We compare notes about what we found and what Samantha they recovered when they took everything off of Lieutenant Blair at the hospital.
Well, I didn't want to discuss over the phone.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I'm sorry, the phone systems right now, I mean, you've always got someone listening because you've got an operator that...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's busy. She's probably listening to other calls too, but we can't be sure that it's private. So, okay.
Do I at least ask if they're there?
What, is Blair there?
No, are the IDs there?
Just one question. Is her ID with her stuff?
No.
Okay. No problem. Then, all right. Again, we are going to the community center, and we will be back in touch as soon as, okay?
All right.
All right, bye-bye, sweetie.
I shall be here. Bye.
To the community center before the cannolis get cold.
Yes. We'll do the community center first so that we can get the group back together. All right, at the community center, it is a brand new brick building that has gone up recently. It's very non-adorned outside. They didn't get any stone workers to do any of the colonnading or anything. So it's very austere. It kind of comes to mind of a prison almost. But it is new and it is quite clean. It's a fairly large building too. Large set of stairs leads up to the entryway where there is an area to put your coat and hat, and that goes into a reception area. There is a lady behind a desk. Swarthy, she's got her hair tied up in a bun. Looks like your cafeteria worker.
Hey, it's good to see you again. How's the center doing?
Are you stating that you're known here? You can do that.
Yes, I have. Yes, I do help out. I help those in need. I'd probably help these people.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, Daniel, nice to see you again. We weren't expecting you this early in the week.
Yeah. Normally I wouldn't come in, but some business has come up, so I'm here for business, not for help, unfortunately. Although I do believe we have your delivery here.
Oh, the boy's gonna be so looking forward to this.
Sorry, I missed that. What was that?
Oh, she just says that the boys will be so looking forward to this. I tell you, let's take a quick bio break. I'm choking here. I need some water. All right. So you are at the desk in front of the resource center. You're presenting her with a tray of cannolis. She says, well, why don't you come on and bring it on back? The boys have been waiting for this all day. It's kind of a treat. Zeppo is a good man to be able to do this for us.
Yeah. Nope, not a problem. We take stuff in the back.
Mm-hmm. And there are, in the back there, it's mostly boys. There are a few girls. They range in the age from like very young to like 5 or 6 year old to some that are just in their teens.
Wow, that's a big age.
They kind of swarm around as you bring in the cannolis, and all of them are quite glad to see you. They're a little grabby at first, but the lady comes back with you and reminds them all to mind their manners, and it's quickly more subdued.
Yes, yes, kids. You know, I'm sorry I didn't bring the normal gifts I bring, but I came here early because I wanted to help. I wanted to help with this delivery and see your happy faces.
That is, you know, I already adopted this, like, this damaged war vet. I could just see, like, just all these kids trailing me back home like ducklings. I just want to adopt them all.
Gotta adopt them all.
Just remember, know? When they're this young and this short, they fit under the cars easier.
That's true. And their little tiny fingers get those little tiny, like, gears. They grip them a lot easier. Yeah, but I have that parental authority, and I get everybody in line.
Can both of you give me an investigation rolls? Actually, no, make it a notice roll. Make it a notice roll.
Which is alertness?
Yes, sorry.
Oh yeah, you're thinking in Savage Worlds.
Yes,
term.
I am.
Alertness.
This is your passive ability to notice things.
Actually, I just
another five.
What is alertness?
Hey, you both got better than a 3, I take it, it looks like.
Yes, I got a 4.
Okay, well, both of you noticed then, is since they're more orderly now, and the kids and the teenagers coming up to get their cannolis and start talking amongst each other. Both of you spot one older kid. He's probably 14, maybe 15. As he's coming up to get his cannoli and he's turning away, there's blood splatter on the bottom, like, hem of his pants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wait to see where he sits down.
He sits off in the corner. There's a couple of other older kids around him. One girl that's maybe 12, could be 13, and then one younger boy that's maybe 7, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
They're kind of huddled together. Looks like they're looking at something.
No problem. I go over there and join them.
All right. Me too.
As you approach, they kind of form up rings. Whatever they're looking at, they kind of pushed it to behind their back, so they look up at you as you're coming down. All three of them look suspicious at first. The older one kind of puts a smile on his face and says, thanks for the cannolis.
It's not a problem. They're forming defensive squares like Napoleon in Egypt. Kids do that.
And they're just as tall.
I say, yeah, you know, it's on you know, I got the motor works at down the street a ways. So right there near Zeppo's. I don't know if any of you ever get out that way.
They kind of look at each other. The younger girl says, I go to Zeppo's every now and then. He's good about leaving stale baked goods out out back for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he's a nice guy, that Zeppo. Yeah. Just curious, have any of you been out there, you know, in the last couple of hours?
Yeah, and maybe seen, heard something?
Kind of look at each other and say, no.
Well, yeah, see.
Come on, guys.
Here's the problem, you know, I mean, I don't even know if you, I'm sure if some of you gotten out there, you might have seen the, I got a lot of kids of my own, you know, and I hate to see anybody get in trouble because, well, the problem is that, a police lieutenant, she got shot up there.
Yeah.
And she got hurt pretty bad, and, you know how police get.
We don't want, guys, I don't want anything to happen to you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's only been a couple of hours, but fortunately she's okay, you know, but she's at the hospital, and I mean, it's only a matter of time before you know it. Every corner around here is going to have a couple of cops around. It'd be impossible to get anywhere.
All the people who might give you some money just disappear.
You guys give me either an empathy or a rapport roll.
Rapport it is.
Give me rapport.
Aw. Only 3 successes.
I got a 2 successes.
Okay. They're having none of it. They seem to be kind of huddling tighter together as they look up at you. And you can even see their jaws kind of clenching a little tighter as if no word is going to escape these mouths.
I'm going to attack. Help those in need, because this would help them more than, because this will help them, even though they don't understand that it will help them in the long run.
Sure.
And get a reroll.
I threw out some more chips there. If you guys take a look at the playing board, there's more chips for everybody.
Okay. That means I'll just keep my chips normal and delete that one.
So are you going to reroll or just add a 2? Because you're tied. I mean, you can just add a 2 and you...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just add a 2 if we're tied. I just wasn't sure. I thought there was more of a difference.
All right. The guy that you pegged with the blood on the bottom of his pants speaks up and says, I don't want any trouble. I figure, you know, saw the woman bleeding all over the place and figured she didn't need it anymore. And pulls out a money pouch that they were apparently looking at, hands it over to you.
I open it up
in there. I mean, you know, just a few notes.
I open it up to see if there's any papers or just notes.
There's some notes, a few spare coins, and then her badge. The holder is in there.
The holder, as in the badge, is not in there.
Opened it. I mean, you pick it up.
Okay. I'll open it to check to see that that's there also.
When you do open it up, there is a calling card that kind of falls out as you open it.
All right. Okay. Well, we collect it. By notes, do you mean like money, bank notes?
Money, yeah.
Okay. How much is there in notes there?
It's like $20.
Okay. Well,
in various sizes.
All right. We're going to leave the notes here.
That's what I was thinking.
I asked the kid, what's your name?
Devin.
Devin.
This is Sarah now, and this is Tom.
Gotcha. Devin, Sarah, Tom. Did you see anyone talk to this lady before she got hurt?
Yeah. There's a guy. He's wearing these nice uptown clothes and this hat that probably costs more than I'll ever see.
Did he look like I described Harris?
This was a shorter guy.
Okay.
And did it look like they were fighting? Like they were arguing?
The guy pulled out this machine and it made this really loud noise and then the lady started bleeding.
Gotcha. It was sort of like a bang bang noise.
He kind of flinches when you say that. He says, yeah.
I see.
There's so much blood. I mean, I figured she was a goner. I mean, you know, I couldn't do anything to help her.
I couldn't.
It's okay. It's okay. I understand.
Did you hear anything of what they said? Were they angry? Did he just suddenly surprise her and pull out the gun? Or did it, like, you know?
She didn't see him. And then I was there seeing if Zeppo had put out any rolls for the day. And she was coming down the alley and she kind of startled me. And this guy came at the other end and she heard him and turned around and he shot her twice. And then she tried to run and he shot her again.
Gotcha. All right.
I don't think he saw me. The lady is a bit bigger than me, and I was standing in front of her.
Okay. So where did the guy go then?
He just went out the other end of the alley. I didn't follow him.
Right. Did you happen to see whether he went left, straight, right?
No.
That's all right. Okay.
That's all right. By the way,
dropped something down the sewer.
Well, that is really good to know.
Thank you. By the way, you might want to clean that up by pointing at the blood stain.
Yeah, do you have another pair of pants?
Yeah.
he shakes his head, no.
Okay. I go to Francis, the lady at the front there. I said, do you have any spare clothes for these kids?
Yeah, I think we got a donation in last week. I think Daniel brought them in. Find something appropriate.
Right, I'm just going to find a little something for my little man, Devin, over there. I find like a pair of pants that might possibly fit him. Mm-hmm. And I make him trade his pants for mine.
Okay, deal fit is he's kind of malnourished and is really skinny, so yeah.
Fine, I leave the money, take everything else, and
I look at the calling card. And was the badge actually in the holder?
Yes, the badge is in the holder. There is a calling card inside, and it says. Second. Underwood Exports, and then it has a number, and at the very bottom in smaller script it says Lisa Malone, bookkeeper and coordinator.
Underwood Exports?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What it said, Lisa Malone what?
Coordinator and bookkeeper.
No.
All right. All right.
All right. I'm gonna pause with you guys for a minute, and we'll cut back to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay, and back at the hospital, Mr. Fredericks arrives. He has a couple of lads with him, escorting him in, and they're directed to the office that you have taken over.
Okay.
Yeah. Doffs his hat to you and and says, Miss Jenkins, what have you got for me? He nods to his other two guys and he says, you go and stand in front of the doors to the trauma ward. You make sure nobody goes in there that shouldn't be in there. And they go off. Let the doctors in, of course.
all right, and I go... And I show him her clothes, first of all. Mm-hmm. Now, Freddie, if she was supposed to be working, she would not have been wearing these clothes. Is she due on some kind of special assignment?
Freddie takes out a notebook and goes over. This is what delayed me a little bit. I was asking around the office to find out what was going on. with Elizabeth today, and apparently she got a phone call sometime this morning. Switchboard operator says 8 o'clock, and she took an early lunch. She usually goes around noon, 1 o'clock. She left early at 11. And she changed out of her uniform before she left.
Does the operator know where the call came from?
No, she doesn't. We don't keep track unless it's on the emergency line. This came through just the private line.
Is there any type of recording or was anybody listening during this conversation?
There's always an operator there, but since it's a private line, they don't keep listening to a line once they've connected it. Unless they've got a reason to, they don't write down who the connection is from.
Okay. Did she tell any of her coworkers where she was going to lunch?
Or did No one remembers talking to her after the phone call other than she told the duty officer that she was going to take an early lunch and wouldn't be back until late.
Okay. I also go, I hand him the baggie of bloody bullets. This is what they pulled out of her. Do you know anything about firearms?
Spent some time in the service, so I'm familiar with them. These bullets, though, I'm not familiar with the caliber or what type of gun fires them. Probably customs. We don't have a lab for this sort of thing. Some of the guilds do. Maybe we can see if we can buy some time with some of their technicians.
I already have some experts coming also to look at these bullets.
That looks also amazingly. Very good, Miss Jenkins.
Also, this last piece that I would like to show you is a little concerning, and I hand him the wad of bloody money.
Well, the money itself isn't bloody, it's just the envelope that they were in. He takes a look
at it. The bloody envelope.
Well, non-sequential. Pulls them out, looks it up in the light. Not counterfeits, so she wasn't working on anything like that. Suppose we can pull her bank records to see if she made a withdrawal. It's older script, so nothing really odd about it. It is a bit of money for her to be carrying. Explain why. You know, her house isn't very far from the precinct. She may have stopped in there before going wherever she was heading.
All right. Can we send a uniform over to check her residence?
Yes. He picks up the phone on the desk, places a call to the office, and some cops go over to her apartment just to see if anything is out of place.
Okay.
Says, well, this also, is, there's no clear guild involvement on this. Do you mind if, for the time being, I take this evidence? If it ends up being guild involved, of course, we'll hand the contract over to you. But until that time, this seems to be just a police matter. I, of course, would value that, your experience on this.
I'm hesitant to let go of anything. Would you mind, Freddy, waiting until my companions come? They're also following up some of their own leads.
It's odd, but I suppose I'll be here for a while, yet I want to check in on Elizabeth and see how she's doing. Tell you what, as long as your friends get here before I need to leave, that's fine. But otherwise, I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist on taking the evidence. So unless we can find clear guild involvement here.
Oh, all right. They should be here shortly. I don't expect them to be too much longer.
He's going to, with your permission, he's going to take a closer look at the clothing as well. He's going to go basically over the evidence.
All right. Of course. And you've also, did he make the call to have someone pull her bank records?
No, they're actually going to have to go in person for that. That's not something the banks will do over the phone.
Okay. Can we get that rolling. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I guess we're just waiting for Drina and Daniel to finish up what they're doing.
Step back to them. So get that sword up. All right, guys.
Let's see. All right, I guess.
I guess we go to Drina, show this calling card. I show him the calling card. And we get someone from the police to go dig into the sewer for us, because I don't want to do it, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to do it.
Who do you call?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's...
Let's go to the hospital and check up on her.
Wait. Like, who do we... Like, essentially, this is our job, isn't it, to...
No, actually, it's not. Unless there is some kind of guild involvement to it, it's not your job. This would fall directly
into place. I pointed at the calling card. Bookkeeper! Guild involvement. Moving on.
if it's an export business, then it would fall under, like, what, Teamsters, I think a transporter's guild, right?
It could, yes, if they were guild involved. Okay.
This could be the potential of what she was looking into.
Well, you know what? I don't care if it's my job or not. You know, she got shot up outside my place and staggered into my kid's birthday party. And I kind of like Elizabeth anyway, so I'm going to the sewer.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go with you, but can you at least call Samantha to tell her where we're at and tell her that we may have a possible guild and in order for us to keep on this case, we have a possible guild involvement we're going to be investigating?
Yeah, tell her. In fact, yeah, this is what we'll do. We'll drive back to the motor works. I'm going to get a light, some kind, and some gloves. And you call up Elizabeth and tell her about the lead and the guild involvement, and I will check the sewer out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, phone on your desk rings again, Samantha.
Hello?
That would be you, Marcus.
Oh, last time he did the whole introduction of the person.
They're just patching you through now. She's been called a lot.
Okay, that's what confused me, because you did the introduction last time, so I expected you to do it again. Yeah, Samantha, we're following another lead. We in order for us to stay on, we found we found some stuff. We found something that may connect it to guild involvement. I don't want to speak with it over the phone, but there was something in her possessions that could be a connection. We're not entirely sure. Right now we're looking up something else really quickly, then we'll bring our evidence over to you.
All right, Daniel. We need to make this snappy. I have Freddy here with me, and he's wanting to leave and take everything with him.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure to hurry Drina up. Although, you might want to get something.
So, Freddy looks at you for a moment there, Samantha, and asks if he could have the phone. He could speak to the person on the other end.
Absolutely. Daniel, Freddy wants to speak with you.
Okay. Put him on.
This is Chief of Police Einhard Fredericks. Who am I speaking to?
Daniel Bishop, sir.
Oh, Daniel. Okay. I am familiar with you, sir. I understand that you are investigating what happened to our Miss Blair here. What is it that you're wanting to do?
First of all, right now we're, Drina is collecting a bit of evidence as I speak, but I found something after finding her purse, I found something in her possession that may be something she was investigating and it may involve the guild. I'm not entirely sure. We haven't really investigated that. I figured we'd probably talk to you first. And
which guild?
Not over the phone. Transportation.
Hold on a second. He turns to you, Samantha. Who do you have coming in? You said you had some guild technicians coming in. What guild?
Transportation.
Perfect. Daniel, I would prefer if you would give me and my boys, you're just uptown for me. It won't take us 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get there. Don't disturb any evidence you might find, and unless we get a guild contract on this, if this ends up being a police matter, you might destroy a chain of evidence for us.
So, okay, I'll grab Drina off what she's doing. Drina! Don't go down there!
A few minutes, Daniel.
Drina, don't go down there! Chain of evidence! Chain of evidence!
Right, so he's yelling at me. I'm assuming I hear him, that I stop. Yeah. But I shine my light down there. Do I see anything?
It's a big iron kind of sluice grate. Apparently this part of the alley will occasionally flood, and this is kind of the flood relief area. You shine your light down there, and it looks like there is like a sediment trap. These things are probably emptied every now and then, and it looks like there's something that glints on the sewer trap. A hunk of metal of some sort. It's hard to tell. The lamp you have doesn't have a very directed light source on it.
Right. Fine, and, I guess it's not going anywhere, so I'll try to go back, and I still want to see what it is, so I'll go back and find, something more like a flashlight, I guess.
You get, you usually what you're going to be using are sodium lights, but you can have something that has, that uses the Tesla broadcast power. I suppose you may have one around your garage for doing engine work with, and shine it down there. Sure enough, it's a handgun of some sort. You probably have never seen a ballistic handgun before. You know what they are, but you probably never handled one. They are very rare.
All right. Now then, I'm not going to touch the thing.
Back at the hospital, Fredericks is on the phone and says, we need to go down to the scene. Would you like to come along with us? It's going to take probably another two and a half, maybe even 3 hours before your technicians get down here. It's not been that long since you called. Since that's right. Been put into motion.
Okay. Is there just one moment? Let me gather up this evidence, and I'll be coming with you. Is there going to be guards outside of Elizabeth's door?
Yes, I'll leave my men there.
All right. Put everything back in its bag and shove it in my bag. Okay. And we can leave.
Almost exactly 10 minutes later, a squad car pulls up in front of Airbauer Motors. And Fredericks comes out.
I say hello to Frederick. Spotted something over here by the sewer grate.
He rummages around the back of his squad car and comes out with, we call them sewer keys. It's basically a crowbar with a very special tip on it. He inserts the rod into the grate, gives a twist, and with a bit of grunting effort, he pulls up the sewer lid. This loose grating is a few feet down and is covered with this kind of viscous muck. It smells horrible. You can hear the chittering of rats down there.
I say, good thing this is a police matter right now.
Freddy goes back to the car, puts on this long rubberish glove and a pair of reaching tongs, and he sticks his arm down through the sewer with fishes around for a bit and comes back up with the gun at the end of his grabby arm.
Careful with that.
Holds it up to the light and takes a look at it. It's very thin. It looks like, as he's examining it, he's kind of speaking aloud as he's saying it. It's, he says, this is a handcrafted model. Looks like to be holds maybe 4, maybe 5 shots here. It's not intended to... it's not a military model at all. Looks like this was made in someone's shop. He turns over a garbage can lid to make a flat area and lays a gun on it so that all of you can kind of gather around and examine it a bit better.
So what is it, like a revolver we're talking about here?
Yeah. It's like an early form of a revolver. It's not cartridge. It's more like cap and ball.
Okay, it's like we're doing a percussion cap.
Yes.
Like where the primer cap goes in the back, then you put in powder and then wadding and the ball, and then you jam the hole and pour it back in. Okay.
Looks like it was a 4-shot weapon. 3 of the chambers are empty. The third one is still primed.
Are there any, like, marks on it that might lead us to a particular craftsman?
Well, Drina, why don't you give me a roll there?
Crafting?
Crafting.
All right.
Come on! 4.
Five successes total. Mm-hmm.
It's actually not very well put together. You don't think a master craftsman would do this sort of work. Actually, you're positive of it. This looks to be an amateur effort at best. You're actually quite surprised the thing didn't explode in whoever's hand that fired it. The creator would have to have a more than just a passing familiarity with how firearms worked, though. But the craftsman job itself is not that good.
Frederick, as a note, in her possessions, in her wallet, when I opened to make sure someone hadn't stolen her badge, this fell out. I hand him the calling card. This is what I suspect may be our guild connection, because it was within the badge itself, the badge holder.
He looks at it and says, Lisa. I think Liz knew this Lisa person. I kind of remember her talking about her trip out in Lisbon in 23. This was before she joined the force, when she was still studying.
Mm.
Can we find this person and bring her to us so that we might question her?
Well, the address isn't very far from here. It might take about 20 minutes. Do we have time?
What time is it right now?
It's like 2:20, 2:30.
Look at Samantha. Do you have anything that needs to be done? Anything happening right now that we need to be aware of?
The ammunition expert shouldn't be here for another hour and a half or so.
Okay.
But they will be arriving at the hospital to take a look at some things.
So you're saying this Lisa Malone and Blair knew each other from where?
Out in Lisbon. At the time, it's kind of, they would send recruits out there to learn the finer arts of investigation, as well as a few of the martial arts in protection and how to subdue without necessarily hurting your suspect. I don't believe Lisa ever joined the force, but at the time they were very good friends. It was the same Lisa I'm thinking of.
Gotcha. Interesting. All right. So, well, so Blair knew how to handle herself well then.
Yes, she did. She was one of her best. Is one of our best.
Right. That reminds me. Hold on. I call the nearest florist, and I have a bunch of, like a get well bouquet sent to Blair's room.
Don't forget to add my name to that.
Sure. Yeah, I add Samantha Jenkins also. And, all right. Well, let's go to Underwood Exports. I mean, does anybody know anything about them?
Do we know anything?
The police teacher shakes his head. He doesn't really know anything about them.
I mean, can we make a roll, like, whatever, streetwise or whatever the,
scholarship?
If you've got any specific knowledge skills that you've taken for the area, you can. Otherwise, you can just give me a roll just to see, call it common knowledge, just something you might have picked up or heard. Unless you have the skill, though, it's just a flat out whatever you roll.
Okay. Yeah, just the one then.
Okay. Well, with a one, you know the district that it is located in. It's not in the cheaps. It's kind of like in the middle class neighborhoods. A bad area. There's a lot of office complexes in that same city block. That's about all you know. Daniel, with a two, you know a little bit more. Did you have by streetwise?
Streetwise?
Or burglary?
No.
Do you have burglary?
No.
Okay. You don't know much more then.
Do we know if it's associated with the Transportation Guild?
Just offhand, no. Since this is just a calling card, it's not going to be on here. But if their business was actually guild-sponsored on their placard outside, there would be a symbol showing that.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wait till we get there.
Yep. So I'm getting in the car. Says, I don't know if Frederick's is in his own car, if he's following us.
You,
so.
You can follow him, or you can, the squad car is large enough to carry you at all. It's up to you.
No, I'd always like to drive myself.
Good enough. Okay, it takes 25 minutes to get there. The traffic's a little heavier this later afternoon, and you are going to a busier district. You park outside of the establishment. It is a single-story storefront on a block where there are other types of business as well. This one does have a guild insignia for transport on the front on an etched piece of glass.
Okay. Well, I guess I go in. Let's go in.
Yep. The inside is very Spartan, though it's very well appointed. The walls are a very rich, dark wood. There's lots of brass linings on the corners and on the tables and chairs. The front desk has a blonde woman, looks to be in her middle 30s, maybe late 30s. Seems to be in very good health and condition. She is typing away at a typewriter and looks to be doing some filing. She sees you come in, and she stands up from behind the desk, smiles, and comes over and says, "Hello, and welcome. What can I do for you today?"
"We're here to speak to Miss Lisa, whatever her last name was.
Malone.
Miss Lisa Malone, please."
"I'm Lisa," and she kind of looks up, and for the first time, she's really noticing that Fredericks is there. "Oh my, is something wrong?"
"No, we would just like to chat."
Sure.
"With her."
"Is this official?" She looks over at Fredericks. Fredericks looks at you guys because there is apparently a guild connection now, so he's deferring to you.
We're friends with one of her friends who would like to have a conversation. It's not official. We're planning a surprise birthday party for one of her friends. So if you could please show us to her office."
I am Lisa."
"Oh, okay. Well then, it's not actually, not actually a birthday party. Is there anybody else in the room with us, or is it just us?"
"No, there doesn't appear to. There's this main area with her desk, and then there looks like there's only one other room. It's got a stained glass window, and the curtains are down, but you can see kind of through them, and you don't see anyone else in the room.
All right. I ask where she's been this afternoon.
Right here the whole day since 6 o'clock this morning.
Has anyone else been here? It seems to be a completely empty office. Is that normal?
I've had a few clients in today. Mr. Corey isn't here. He's the proprietor of the establishment. What's going on?
Where the proprietor hasn't been here all day, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And
do you?
Sorry. And when was the last client in?
Half an hour ago.
Do you know an Elizabeth Blair?
Yeah, I know Elizabeth. Known her for a long time. Now she actually looks kind of frightened. What's going on?
When was the last time you spoke with Elizabeth?
Give me a rapport roll.
Can I also make one?
You're not doing the speaking, so
no.
I got a 1.
Okay, that's all right. She goes over and she locks the door and pulls down the blinds, and turns over the close sign. And, she comes back into the room and says, Elizabeth was here this morning. I needed a favor from her. What's happened?
What kind of favor? Yeah. What kind of favor?
She kind of looks at Frederick's, who are you people first? I'm afraid I have to ask because we are guild sponsored and, well, I mean, you know the laws. She looks at Frederick's.
I guess I pull out my...
I pull out my badge.
My badge.
I
just happen to let Joshua's calling card fall out. So she can see it.
Sorry. Did I drop that?
Yeah.
She looks at all of your credentials, and she looks over pretty good before she hands them back and says, well, I was trying to keep this quieter, but I guess there's no sense in it now. And she sits down and says, what do you need to know? I'd asked her to come in today because I needed a personal favor from her. Mr. Corey hasn't been in it today, and he hasn't been in yesterday either, and I know his habits really well. I don't know where he is, and there's no reason for him to have been gone. I'm worried.
Okay. And this is, you were asking Elizabeth to help you check in on Mr. Corey?
I couldn't make it official. I suspect Mr. Corey has gotten in over his head with something. I think he's being blackmailed. He might be doing something that's not... They could get him in a lot of trouble. I didn't want to bring any official person in. And I've known Elizabeth for a long time. I was kind of hoping she'd give me a hand. She said she knew some people that could do this kind of work and that she would stop in to see if they'd be interested in it. I gave her some money to see if she could hire these people. She assured me that they'd...
How much money did you give her?
$1,500.
Hold on. Something must have happened.
Did we lose him?
We may have lost Bert.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Hello, Bert?
Yeah. Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you were gone for a second, but we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Let me check in on something real quick. And flip over to the other computer and see if something happened. Well, it's still recording. Okay, maybe I was too far away from the mic. What did you not hear? What was the last thing you heard?
That she gave Elizabeth some money that she might pay.
Yeah, I gave her $1,500. She said she knew some people that did good investigation work and that were discreet that she might be able to hire.
said she couldn't promise me anything, but she would try.
Does that mean we get to keep the? I look at Frederick. Does that mean we get to keep the money?
Well,
that's evidence in a case, Mr. Daniel.
I am sorry to
inform. That's what I thought.
Miss Malone, but unfortunately, Elizabeth has been shot with projectiles, and she's in a coma in the hospital right now.
She starts breaking down and crying.
It's okay. She's stable. She'll be fine.
Kind of biting her finger. It's like, so she's okay? I mean, of course she's not okay. She's been shot, but she's alive?
Yes, she'll be fine. Awful. She has the best doctor. It's okay. It's not your fault. You were just doing what you thought best.
So, in light of this, Miss Malone, I think you need to tell us what's going on with Mr. Corey, so that we might catch the people who hurt Elizabeth and also get Mr. Corey out of trouble. He cannot get in any more trouble with us than he's already in.
Well, that's just it. I don't know if there really is anything going on. He's been acting oddly these past couple of weeks, and he's been really secretive when he's normally very open with me. And now that he's been missing for 2 days, I didn't know what to do, and if he was okay, and he was maybe doing something that he shouldn't be, I didn't want to get him into any trouble.
We understand. Shall we,
Everybody, I would like you to give me, let's see, empathy rolls.
Yes. I got 3.
Well, 3.
No, -1.
Okay, you guys have got 3. She appears to be very distraught, but at the same time you feel that she is holding something back. And she's like on the verge of telling you, but she's not.
Well, I was going to say, when you say acting strangely, what was it that he was doing that made you so concerned you wanted to call it Elizabeth?
Well, he never hides any of the transactions from me. I mean, what we do here is we handle sensitive documentation from the guilds, and, well, for anyone that's willing to pay, really. And we make sure that they get to their destinations outside of Metapol. We have several different ways that we can send messages, different couriers, different encryption, different ways to make sure that the data gets there. Secure. Corey, he's always been very upfront with me about who our clients are and what we're working on. But here in the last couple of weeks, he's been very short with me, and he hasn't been telling me who the customers are in all these cases. I mean, not everyone, but sometimes there are some things that look, well, just not quite right to me. And when I ask him about it, he tells me to mind my own business. And, well, I need this job, and I really do like Corey. He's always been a good employer, and it's only here lately that this has been going on. I just didn't know what else to do.
No, well, you know, you actually probably did the right thing by asking for help. So is there any... Well, you say he's been hiding particular transactions.
Is there still documentation, like in his office, possibly, of who he was dealing with specifically?
Normally, there's always documentation, and we keep it here in this filing cabinet. And the filing cabinet's actually built into the wall. It's like almost it's vault-like in appearance. But he's been keeping certain documents back and keeping them in his briefcase. The briefcase is not in his office, and she stands up and she unlocks the office door for you. The last time I saw it was 3 days ago when he left the office and took it with him.
Mm-hmm. We may want to go to his house after this.
So, wait.
I'm talking to my companions. Did you find anybody who saw the shooter? Maybe Miss Malone has actually seen him.
Yes, we saw someone who got not the best of views, though.
Did they give you a description?
No.
But yes, he did. Gave us a description.
Yeah.
So the guy was very well dressed. Actually, that's something that I was going to write down. It's kind of weird. Devin said that the guy had, he had a very nice hat, and his guy was he called him a rich guy, looked very well dressed, but the weapon he had was a piece of crap from as best as we can tell.
He didn't see his face. There's no distinguishing marks that he told you about, how old Holly was, what color his hair was, stuff like that.
Well, I know he's, shorter than...
Like I said, we can go back to Devin and ask him to fill out details. I mean, are you thinking about getting some sort of sketch?
Well, I was thinking that perhaps Miss Malone has actually seen the culprit. Perhaps he came in and had a meeting with Mr. Corey.
Yeah, that's possible. It would probably be good to get the description to see and have that taken care of.
All right.
But we should also probably, while we're here, check the office to see if there actually is anything useful. I doubt it, but it doesn't hurt to check.
If you're doing a thorough check and looking through everything, give me investigation. Otherwise, just give me notice.
Three.
Which are you doing?
Investigation.
I'm doing investigation as four.
I guess I'm just generally looking around, so that gives me a four.
Okay. With the investigation rolls, you don't find an awful lot. And it's kind of suspicious because this drawer does have like a filing cabinet in it, but they're empty. The files are all empty. Around the room itself, it's pretty Spartan. He's got a very nice desk and a very comfortable chair. There's some plants in the room, but otherwise there's not a lot else in here. There are several pictures around the room of a younger, of a young man that's probably early 20s, dark hair, tall, deep tan, with a very beautiful dark-haired wife that's just a little taller than him. One of them looks like a wedding photo. And there's a couple more that look like they're on a beach posing for the photograph.
Miss Malone, do you know who these people are?
She smiles and says, that's Corey and his wife, taken shortly after their marriage.
And when was that?
Oh, almost 20 years ago.
What happened to his wife?
Well, she's been bedridden for the last year. The doctors say that she could die any time. They're not exactly sure what's wrong with her. Some malady that's... She's wasting away. She's barely ever conscious. And when she is, she's in a lot of pain.
All right. Do you know if Corey is having any financial troubles with his wife's medical bills?
Oh, no. Corey is doing quite well, actually. I keep track of all of the finances. She lays out the books for the company. The company is actually doing quite well. Corey is fairly well-to-do.
My God, wait, when's the last time you saw Mr. Corey?
He left the office 2 days ago that evening, so I haven't seen him for the past two full days. About 6 o'clock.
We need to go to Mr. Corey's house right now.
Yeah, probably. Let's hope we don't find... let's go. Let's hope we find what we need.
Miss Malone...
Which hospital is she in?
She's in that one. I say the hospital.
Okay. Call it. If you need me, I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm hopping in the car, and I'm going to Corey's place.
Okay. Corey's place is not too far from here. He has basically a townhouse, and the district right over. It's a better neighborhood. This one's kind of a middle class neighborhood. His house is actually in a much higher class neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's a gated house, and when you pull up, there's like a what looks like a telephone reception in, you know, the big horn and a talking piece at the gate.
Fine, I turn the crank, and I wait for somebody to answer.
Gatehouse one?
Yes, Fredericks is with us, right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, this is the police. We need access to Mr. Corey's residence immediately.
We'll send someone out to check your credentials. Give us just a moment. Very shortly, a guard walks out. Very large man, although he's older. He's probably in his late 50s. He's on the other side of the gate, and he asks, well, let me see your ID. Oh, yeah. Well, Mr. Fredericks. Oh, come right in. He opens the door. Mr. Fredericks actually stops for a bit and chats with him. He's like, Johnny?
No. I'm headed toward Mr. Corey's residence. Which one is it?
It's the, well, there's only the one house here.
I'm going.
The whole lot's his.
I'm already there.
Mm-hmm. All right. You go in through the front door. There's a nurse that actually greets you on the inside. And says, how can I help you?
Yeah. I'd like to see Mrs. Corey.
Okay. She's doing better today.
Is Mr. Corey here?
Sure she is.
No, I'm afraid he's not. We haven't seen him for days, actually, but I understand that he's on a business trip. Come on back. Okay. Takes you into
a business trip. Where?
I don't know. I'm only assuming. He takes trips quite often.
Okay.
Takes you into a back room and on a bed that's it's a very nice bed, but you can tell it's the hospital style. You know, it's got the back end is folded up so the person in it is slightly reclined forward. There is a very large machine that's making a kind of a thumping sound on the ground, and there's a cable running out of it. It attaches just under the woman's nose. You can tell she's not that old. I mean, if she may be 40, if that, she's very frail. Her skin is very pale. Her eyes are just kind of, they're watery. They don't look very focused. There's another nurse in the room that was spoon feeding her.
I talked to Mrs. Corey. Is she lucid?
Well, what do you say? She doesn't seem to be able to focus.
Blink once if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, stop it.
You, she speaks. Her voice is very soft, but says, I can hear you just fine. I just can't see you very well. Who are you?
I introduce us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what brings you to my home?
Well, we're afraid, your husband might have been involved in, a recent incident where a police officer was injured. We just need to know, really, when was the last time you saw your husband and spoke to him?
Yeah, she kind of laughs. I haven't seen my husband for 5 years. I spoke with my husband. What day is today? I lose track of days. The nurse says it's Wednesday. 3 days ago then? Right after he got back from work.
Did he seem a little disturbed or something along those lines?
She kind of laughs. It's kind of like a laugh with a little bit of bitterness to it and says, yeah, we had a lot to discuss.
And what did you discuss?
I'm afraid that's private.
It's a matter of importance because the policewoman who had an incident, she was shot. with a projectile illegal weapon.
Please have everyone else leave the room. The people that you must have in here can stay, but have everyone else leave, please.
I look to the maid. I look to the maid nurse, or say,
she gets up.
Excuse us.
Right. She leaves.
I go over to the side of the bed and I put my hand on Miss Score. I said, look, I understand. You know, this is very delicate. You know, kind of fights that happen between a man and wife. You know, I understand. I've got a big family of my own.
We never fight. Corey is a wonderful man. He came to me 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and confessed to me that he was having an affair with Lisa. And he was pretty torn up about it, and I forgave him. I'm not going to be here much longer, and I've known Lisa for a long time. She's a wonderful woman. I couldn't leave my Corey in any better hands.
Well, that's certainly a very admirable sentiment. But you say he confessed to you as this relationship, and then you haven't seen him since.
No, I figured that he would be taking some time with Lisa, and he's often gone for extended periods of time. He does call for me, though, but I'm afraid I haven't been very lucid. Today is one of my better days.
All right.
Well.
Surprising.
I also, is, okay.
Is he all right? You said someone's been shot. Is Corey all right?
We haven't been able to locate him since he's out of town, so we don't know. Where he's probably all right.
She clutches Drina's hand a bit harder there.
He's probably all right. He probably did just take an extended trip to collect himself after revealing such a what he probably believed as a betrayal to you.
Now, wait a minute. So, when your husband left, he didn't give any indication where he was going or what he was going to do? I mean, obviously, he was upset because he had revealed this to you, but, I mean, did it seem like, did he say he was going to do anything?
My memory is not very good. I'll try. Everyone who is trying to help her remember, give me empathy rolls. Her mental facilities are failing. And she goes periods of time where she can't remember what day it is or how long it's been since the last time she was lucid. So you're basically going to have her reconstruct as well as she can, what she remembers.
3 for my empathy.
I got a 5.
Oh, really good. Okay. You guys kind of talk her through what she remembers, and you're able to at certain times ask her just the right question, and she's able to remember a bit more. Corey came to him, confessed what was going on, asked for forgiveness, etc., and she's already explained that, but what she does now remember is that he said something at the end that was a little surprising to her, and he didn't really explain it. He said, and this is after she gave him her blessing, he said, I'm going to put an end to this now. He can't keep doing this to me.
Oh, hold on. There's someone at the door. I really need to take this. Can we take 5?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Bert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, after we finish speaking with her, just to get a little ahead, to use a little bit of time, I was going to look through his clothes to see if he happened to have something along the lines of what the kid described.
Oh, like his clothes?
Yes.
He would be a taller man than most described to you.
Okay. With the same style as in middle class, right?
Oh, no. His clothing is actually would be less well, as what was described.
Ah.
His clothing is mostly like strongly middle class, because he didn't want his clients to feel that he was more wealthy than he was.
Okay.
And the child told you that the man was wearing like really fine clothing, but in specific, a hat that was probably worth more than he would ever see.
And probably I will ever see. until my bonus at the end of the year.
What's that, Katie?
I said I'm a little suspicious of Lisa now, because she did not reveal this relationship.
Oh, of course. I figure right after this, we're going to go to her house without telling her.
Yeah.
That's always a good idea. And also check her financials. Check both financials to see both his and hers financials to see like if someone's been renting a room. No, wait, that'd be in cash.
Well, we should also do a background check on her. Is she married?
Yeah. We'll do this when we get back. I'm going to actually use this break for an effect.
Let's recap. So the last thing she said was she remembered at the end, after she had forgiven him, that he said, well, I'm putting an end to this. He can't do this to me now. Or something similar to that.
Yeah, blackmail, got it.
Okay. So
that's the last thing she remembers him saying?
Yep, and she barely remembered that. You guys had to coax that out.
I think I see what's going on now.
Yes, and thank you for your time, ma'am.
She thanks you and asks that you find her quarry for her.
We will.
All right. Let's go. Well, we need to talk to Lisa now.
What time is it? Do I need to go back to the hospital?
You've got about another hour before they said they'd be there. Well, the earliest they said they'd be there.
All right. Well, let's go back to the hospital after we go to Lisa's place to check her out, to just double check that she's not hiding anything there before she's able to go and hide something there, so to speak.
Well, you retrieve Fredericks. He's still at the front gate. Apparently the gate guard was someone that he spent some time in service with.
That's ironic.
And he asks, where to now?
Lisa's place.
You know where that is?
Well, she's at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll go there.
All right. You head to the hospital. And Lisa is sitting in the waiting room because the police you left there would not allow anyone to go in to see her. She's sitting there basically just kind of wringing her hands and just looking very upset. Looks like she's been crying a lot.
Let's take you into the office so we can talk to you. We just need to clarify a few details.
She goes.
Go ahead.
Lisa, you forgot to mention just the nature of your relationship with your boss.
She looks a little embarrassed and says, that's very private. And you didn't ask specifically, so I didn't feel like I should tell you our business.
You do realize that things like that, investigations like this, are very important.
I was made to understand that you were investigating why Elizabeth was shot. I hired Elizabeth. There's no reason for me to have shot her. I called her.
Did you tell Elizabeth about the nature of your relationship?
Yes, I did.
All right. Look, we don't blame you for keeping things secret, but now, obviously, we might as well get everything out on the table now. I mean, we've talked to Mrs. Corey. At this point, there's no advantage on your side to keeping anything secret. I mean, what exactly was Corey doing? Was he paying someone?
I really don't know. Here is the key to the office. You're welcome to go through all the paperwork, but everything that he was hiding from me was truly hidden from me. He kept it in his valise. I never got to see it. I have all the shipping orders of what shipped out, but I don't know who shipped them or what they paid. Corey's bank account's fine. He hasn't been making any odd withdrawings from it. I handle his accounts as well. I've known the family for a long time.
Okay. So then again, okay, what he said was, at the end, what he said was, this has got to stop.
But wait, you say he kept track of all the money he got paid for the weird exports?
Yes, I'm in charge of all the books. I mean, I know how much was paid. I just don't know to who or from who.
Do you also know what was shipped?
As much as that's possible. I mean, most of them are secret documentation, so of course we're not told explicitly.
Oh, yes.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's approach this from another angle. Now, the only person who got shot here is Elizabeth, who she is still unconscious.
Yes, she's still in critical care.
So the question isn't, was Corey being blackmailed and was paying him, or who he was paying off? We're assuming that somebody's being paid off. The question is, who knew Elizabeth would be there?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it seems like this is a set-up meeting, because Elizabeth wouldn't just be hanging out in the alley next to Zeppo's for no reason.
No.
So who knew that she was going to be there, and why would they want to shoot her?
Probably, it may have actually been that she was hiring a private investigator who had investigated and who was known for his silence, who had discovered the affair in his own time and was blackmailing Corey.
Wait a minute.
You're talking in front of her, right?
No, we threw her out.
Okay.
Go back to the waiting room.
Well, I don't think that, because she was just hired today, so I don't think there'd be time for what you were saying.
Actually, timeline between when she left Lisa's office to when she was shot was just over an hour.
Yeah, so there wasn't time for what you were saying, Daniel.
Wait, how long does it take for the pneumatic train to get there?
About an hour.
Okay, so there would be no time.
And Lisa called her at 8 o'clock that morning. You know that she was got a phone call at 8 o'clock at the precinct.
Right, and she left by 11.
11. It takes about an hour to get to the business and about an hour back. So that's 1 o'clock.
That's weird.
Could be someone was watching the business.
Have we asked Lisa when she was supposed to actually meet with Elizabeth?
Nope.
Yeah, so I talked to Lisa and asked her, so look, you expected Elizabeth would help you, right? Now, you didn't give her any details over the phone.
Oh, of course not.
So you arranged to meet her at some place for lunch, maybe?
No, we met at the office.
Okay,
she
so
got
you...
got here a little bit after 11 o'clock, just before 12.
Uh-huh. Right, so, and then you discussed the details with her of what you wanted, what help you wanted from her.
Yeah.
Okay. And she left the office around what time?
Oh, not much after that. I mean, we didn't talk for very long. I had clients coming in.
So,
she goes over the whole. She goes over with me what went on. Is that she took Elizabeth back into Corey's office and they closed the door and discussed in there because that's the only that's the only private place in there. The foyer area and her desk are just the one room.
Do I remember any random lunch pails in the room?
And any what?
Any random lunch pails?
Talking about
lunch.
Listening devices. Yeah.
No, not that you remember.
Well,
we didn't have any clients. I locked the door while we were talking, and the only people that have the key are me and Corey and Jason occasionally.
Who's Jason?
He's the janitor. He comes by a couple times a week, cleans out things for us.
When was the last time that you saw Jason?
I haven't seen him recently.
How long has your relationship been going on with Corey?
Oh, it started quite a while ago, but hadn't become intimate until last month. I've known the family a long time, and with his wife's illness, I've always been there for her and Corey, and more recently, just for Corey.
And how long has Jason worked for you?
A few months. Actually, 2 months ago.
2 months. All right. And where might we contact him?
He's got a file at the office. You're welcome to retrieve that. I don't know offhand.
And you haven't seen him for a couple days either?
He usually comes at night to clean things out. But I mean, he has a key. I mean, he comes from a bonded service. We don't keep anything. Any of our clients' packages aren't kept in the office, so there's really nothing he could steal there.
Okay. I turn to my colleagues. Let's track down this Mr. Jason.
Yes.
I have a question. Is Jason a shorter man or a taller man or a medium-high man?
He's a shorter guy. He's about my height. She's like, okay. She's like maybe 5'5", 5'6".
Okay, thank you.
All right, so do we want to have a uniform go pick him up, or do we go pick him up ourselves?
Uniform while he's doing that, we can go visit our witness and get a sketch.
Or let's bring the witness to the hospital. Maybe he could just ID him right there.
Yeah.
ID who?
I have a sneaking suspicion that this Jason is our person.
Okay.
He's short.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You want to bring Jason to the hospital.
Yes, and have the child take a look.
Right.
Because he's short. He's only been around a couple of months, he might have figured out the affair and tried to get a little money off of that. And if he has been getting money, he might have been able to purchase some fancier clothes than normal. And depending on his background, he might have knowledge of firearms.
Okay. What's the service that you use to get it from?
It's in his file. I don't remember offhand.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go. We can also do a background check on this guy to see if he's been in the service.
All right, let's go. And one last question for Lisa. Like you say, he's one of the guys who comes at after hours, like mops, sweeps, empties garbage, right?
Yes.
Well, has the garbage been getting emptied? Or has stuff been piling up?
You know, I didn't think of it before you asked that, but my garbage can was emptied after I was finished talking with Elizabeth.
Well, you mean somebody came by right after? And you didn't notice?
It had to have been during.
Wait, during the time you were there talking to Elizabeth, somebody came and emptied your garbage.
It would have had to have been, because I remembered that I had an empty can in it before I went in to talk to Elizabeth, and I'm just now remembering that it wasn't there.
I see.
So well, in light of this information, I think we need to find this Jason. Like right
yes.
now.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree.
So you head back to her office?
Yeah, we need to head back to the office and look around, but if I suspect we might not find as much as we would like to find. But yeah, we're going to the office and we're trying to find if there's a service that they use, there should be a Rolodex with mm-hmm. the card in it.
Let's make this easy here. Everybody just give me investigation rolls.
Okay. Attack.
4.
4.
Okay. Easy enough. You find his record with the address that he gave, as well as the agency that supposedly vetted him. And the other thing that you find with a 4, you find the manifest of items that have been shipped out within the last few days. And a little bit further back, and most things are very small. I mean, they're like basically letters, small boxes, etc. Yesterday, a large package was shipped out, and looking back to the manifests, they really don't deal with large packages. It stands out because of the amount they had to pay to ship it.
How big is it?
It's about 6.5-7 feet long, maybe 3 feet deep, 4 foot across.
My dear colleagues, this gives me the distinct impression that this might be our Mr. Corey, this package. Right. We need to find this package and find Jason.
So where was the package headed?
It apparently hasn't shipped yet because every time one that's been picked up by Zeppelin and taken up, or by another courier, it's been checked off, so it apparently is sitting in their warehouse.
Okay. We need to call the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the...
Yeah, this is Frank. Manifest. What can I do for you?
Hey, Frank. How's it going? This is Green Airbauer. Turns out there's a package out there with this manifest number. Has it gone out yet?
No, it's still sitting here.
It's
turns a out beauty. This thing is pressure sealed and everything. I hadn't seen one of these in a while.
Yeah, I'm sure. Some bigwig client had bought some artsy fartsy piece of sculpture, some crap like that. So, it turns out the guys checked in clear, so if you could just hold on to that, the owner is going to come by and get that back. So don't ship that out. It should be around in an hour or so. You know how these things are. These guys don't know their assholes from their elbows. Am I right?
Yeah, I guess. Who'd you say you were? This is a direct line, so I guess you're calling from the office, but I don't remember no Drina working.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Lisa's.
Oh, yeah, how's Lisa doing?
She's great. She's doing fine.
Hey, you tell her that my offer for beers after work still stands, all right?
Okay. No problem. And hang up. Okay. We need to go and pick up what may or may not be the corpse of Mr. Corey.
Right. Any indication of where Jason might be?
You've got an address.
All right. All right. Daniel, why don't you go check out his residence?
Okay, I'll do that. Who gets Frederick's?
Wait a minute. What is our plan here? Like, somebody's going to this janitor Jason's apartment?
Yeah, and then someone is going to go see if it's a dead body or a live body.
How about someone?
I don't want to lose time if he's dying in the box. We want to get to him fast. And we don't want Jason to be able to leave.
Okay.
How about Drina, you and I, since they know your name, you and I go to Jason's place of residence, and Samantha, you take Frederick's and take care of the box. Since he is police, it should be dealt with pretty easily. Isn't that right, Fredericks?
Yeah, sure. Sure about that, though? It sounds like this guy is armed and obviously dangerous. You sure you don't want some of the boys with you?
I think, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Right, I'll call a squad car or two and have him meet you at the address. You want the lights on?
Going to the address? That's probably a bad idea.
No, keep it silent.
All right, we'll have him park a block over then.
So it's me and Marcus going to the warehouse?
No, we're going to the place of residence.
I'm going to the warehouse.
All right.
And Broth.
All right, let's do place of residence. It's a tenement apartment in the cheap section, where where you guys live. It's a third floor apartment. The desk manager is there, and you've got a couple of police officers with you. So he's, he's like, "Yeah, here, I'll get the key for you."
Thank you. Has he been in recently?
I don't really keep track of the guys coming and going, but he pays up on time. He's been a good client. Hope he keeps being one. He looks at the police officers like, I really doubt it. He's paid up through the rest of the month. I can keep that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we don't actually know that he's done anything yet. Right, let's go into. We'll slowly make our way over to Jason's apartment, and
now he's offering to go and open the door. Or do you just want the key?
Let him open the door.
Walks up to the third flight of stairs. He says, "Can I knock?"
No.
Been polite.
No. Stop it. Give me the key.
Yeah, just give me the key.
Stop. Get away from the door. Everyone be quiet. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I stick from the side of the door, and I stick the key in the lock. I turn it. I turn the doorknob, push open the door, and shout, "Please!"
Okay. And where were you standing?
I'm making sure nobody's in front of the door. No innocent bystander. Innocent. Yeah. Building manager is getting riddled with bullets.
You're
okay?
You're the closest to the door, however, so give me an athletics roll.
Fine. And that's a 2.
That's a 2, okay. This is the explosion. lucky for you, the door frame is probably better designed than the door itself. As you swing the door open, you feel that there's just a little bit of tension on the door as it swings, and that just gives you enough time to think that maybe there's something wrong. As a tripwire is sprung and the door is just burst apart by an explosion from inside of the room.
Right.
There's plaster and wood shards. There's a lot of smoke going on. You guys hear from the back of the apartment, your ears are still ringing, but it's pretty clear, the sound of breaking glass.
Son of a bitch! Do you have men on the floor, ground?
The two police officers start running downstairs.
Gina, you're better than I am!
I'm running to the back.
I'm running downstairs with the cops.
All right, you're going downstairs with the cops. Rena, you enter the room. Apparently there was a small explosive device tied to the door with a trip wire. It wasn't opened correctly. The inside of the room is filled with smoke, but you can just make out a form going through the back window that has just been broken. The window's been smashed. There's glass all over the floor, and there's somebody making his way out of the window.
I see. All right. Then I'm going to... I'm going to go ahead and pull my wrench out and toss it at his head.
All right. What is your alertness?
Alertness.
Just what is the number? Don't roll it.
Oh, it's mediocre.
Okay. He is a bit faster than you, so you declare first anyway. So you're pulling your wrench out and doing what? Sorry.
If I have a clear shot, I'm going to try and huck it.
Okay, so you're pulling out your wrench and you're trying to throw it at the back of the guy's head as he's going out the window. All right. Well, his maneuver is to try and get out the window. The reason he had to break it is because this place is not quite up to code. There is no fire escape on his particular floor. So he's trying to drop to the fire escape right below him. All right. So here we go. You're going to be at a -1 because you're doing – you have to draw the wrench first and then throw it. So I want an athletics roll, a -1. And now he's going to make an athletics roll to see if he can get out the window and drop before your wrench collides.
Okay. That's just the 1.
Oh, well. the 1's a success, however. the wrench is going to give you a +1 for the damage, so you're going to do 2 shifts on him. So you do clock him, but it doesn't take him out. All right. So, meanwhile, the rest of you guys are running downstairs. Drina, what set up the scene now? You've just thrown your wrench, clocked him on the back of the head. He screams out, "Ah!" He failed to actually quite get out of the window, so he's kind of half in, half out of the window, trying to find some way to get down to the fire escape. Still faster than you, though, so you declare first.
All right. Gonna try and shoot him. He's half in and half out the window. I'm gonna go ahead and push him out the window.
So you're gonna move and then push him over?
Yeah. Yep.
It's also a supplementary, so you're gonna be at a -1 to do that. He is going to try and draw his gun and shoot you. He'll be at a -1 to do that. So you make your roll, he's gonna make his shooting.
This is athletics?
Yeah. If you're gonna run over and try and push him out.
That's a 0.
Okay, now he's got a 2. So his total is going to be 3. So he is going to shoot you, and you're going to take a -3 on your health track if you don't want to spend a chip.
No, I'm going to spend a chip and tap femme de fer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just made of sterner stuff than your mm-hmm. average guy. I'm a woman of iron. So with my taser raised up, I run up and try to block him and push him out the window as he shoots me.
Right. So you're just getting the +2 for both of those?
Right.
Okay, so that puts you over him. So you're able to get over to him. You're able to block his pistol. It's another gun. It's not a stun one this time. And you got it put up so that he's not able to get a direct shot at you, and you're able to push him a little bit. Since you only did 1 better than him, though, you're not able to quite unseat him from the window, so you're kind of both struggling together there. You're getting the gun out of the way, trying to push him out of the window, and he's trying to bring it down to shoot you. So
did he fire a bullet?
Taking a box, and all right, declare. What are you doing? You're kind of locked in with him, struggling at the window.
I'm just going to it's too close to start shooting. I'm just going to try to smack his hand with the butt of the taser.
Okay.
And make him drop his gun.
All right.
That's basically just meleeing, so go ahead and give me a fighting roll there, and he's going to do the same. Neither one of you are negatives, no supplementary actions. Oh, yeah. He's going to end up with a 5. And what is your total?
Yeah, my total is the negative 1.
It is negative 1. So you're going to end up having to take a consequence here or be taken out.
Gotcha. Let's see here.
How many boxes do you have in health? You just have the standard 2?
Let's see. Yes, I do.
Okay, how this can work then is if you want to spend a chip to lower it so that you're not taking quite that extreme of box of damage, you can do that. Or you can take a consequence. You've got to get rid of the 2 points. So you can pick just a minor consequence. So you can say that you're bruised or maybe he's sprained your wrist or something like that, which will tag you with an aspect if he will be able to tag, but you won't take that box, those boxes of damage.
Right, yeah, so I was trying to think of a consequence to take. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll take a sprained ankle.
Okay. With your fighting with them and...
And he gives me a good stomp on the inside of my left foot.
Mm-hmm.
We're in melee. We're kicking and scratching and we're just rolling around.
All right. You going to keep this up for the next round?
Let's see. No, he's a little bit tougher than me. I think I'm going to have to disengage and run off.
Okay. That's going to be an athletics for you. He's going to continue to try and...
Oh, wait. The room does have the aspect filled with smoke.
Yes, it does. Doesn't it?
So then, yeah, I'm running away.
So you're going to tap filled with smoke? Spin the chip for that?
You got it.
So you make an athletics roll, and then use that aspect however you want. I mean, you can re-roll or add a +2, however you want to do it. He, however, is going to be able to attack your sprained ankle.
So I've got 4.
You succeed in this case, though. So your stated goal was not to harm him, it was to get away. So you are able to get away free and clear, and he's not able to harm you in return.
So I hobble swiftly away into the smoke,
mm-hmm.
cursing.
The rest of you guys are still on the flights of stairs as this has only been a few seconds. Next round, he is going to drop down the window onto the fire escape. What do you want to do, Drina?
Ah, crap. I'm just going to stay outside the door and cover it with a taser in the off chance he decides to come rushing out. But it looks like he's pretty committed to heading out the window.
Oh, very good. However, he rolls a -3, so he misses the landing and falls out the window.
Oh, God! This is the third floor!
Yep. I'm going to spend a chip for him and see if I can't make him survive. Ah, that's better. Okay. And each of you get another chip, by the way, everybody. He makes it to the landing. Let's put a chip on that. So he's on the landing now, and he's out of your sight, Drina. So we're gonna switch out of combat mode here. The rest of you guys are running downstairs and getting to the back of the building. And you see him starting to climb down the fire escape.
Get him!
Mm-hmm. Are you running after him? All right, so what's your alertness? The police have a 3. What's yours?
3. Same as the police.
Okay. Then you guys are the same, so it all happens at once. You're running after him. He sees you guys, and he's going to start shooting his gun.
I'm gonna rush him.
All right. Yeah, so you guys, everybody's rushing him, and he's trying to shoot you.
And I'm gonna try and work with the police to rush him.
Yes. You roll your athletics. He's gonna roll a shooting. Oh, so you got a 2.
I got a athletics. I got a 1. Okay. Hopefully, the police help me.
The police are able to close the distance just fine. He does, however, get off a shot. It's your low roll there, Daniel. Unfortunately, he shoots you. you did get a run. You did get a 1, though, so you're going to take a check in box 2.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is a dangerous weapon. Okay.
Yep. But you've got at least 2 boxes, so you're still fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Shit.
And just so we're clear on that, the boxes aren't actual damage. They're basically close calls. Yeah, this sort of bullet just whizzed by your ear.
Yeah, I was just like, damn, that bullet just came close.
Mm-hmm. So, Drina, you hear a shot from outside on the fire escape. So as we go on to this next round, Drina, you can act as well. You're slower than everybody else, so you declare first, Drina.
All right, I'm going to... I figure he must be outside, so I'm making my way back to the window to look out.
Okay, you can move and do something else.
Well, if if I see him, I'm going to shoot him.
Okay, so you'll take the -1 on your shot, but you can certainly see him. He's one floor below you. He's on the second floor fire escape that he's just dropped onto, and he's just shot at one of the police officers. He's going to continue to shoot because he doesn't think he can outrun everybody. The police were closer to him, so they're going to try and tackle him. What are you doing?
I'm going to tackle him, too.
You're going to tackle, too. So give me an athletics roll. You're going to give me a shooting roll.
He's got 4. 1 again.
So I've got 2.
Okay, you got a 2, so you will check off box 2 on him since he wasn't doing anything to influence you at all. He doesn't really see you. He does get off a clear shot, though. And Daniel, what is your athletics?
1.
Yeah, you're still slower than the cops, but since they're closer, he's going to shoot one of them instead. So one of the cops takes a bullet and goes down. The other one tackles him, but... doesn't seem to be able to knock him over, so they're just kind of struggling now, but he's got control of the firearm. And then Drina shocks him.
Let's see.
Alright, yeah, so let's set it up then. This is likely to be the last scene. He's got one police officer struggling with him. He's got the firearm hand in the air pointing upwards, actually dangerously close to the window there, Drina. You're looking out of the window down onto him. And, Daniel, you're coming up.
I'm gonna give him a nice right hook to knock him out. Try and knock him out.
Alright. You'll get a bonus for that since the policeman is also trying to subdue him. Drina, you're gonna shoot again. You might hit the police officer or Daniel at this point, though.
No, I'm fine. I'll shoot.
Alright, nice. Go for it. So he's gonna try and break away.
That's a...
Oh!
Wow.
So I'm going to shoot him, all right, so I'm looking at the -1, but I'm going to go ahead.
Wow, everyone.
And I'm going to tap to make sure that I don't hit Daniel the cop. I'm faster than you.
Okay.
So I'm going to re-roll.
Positive 1?
No, I'm going to re-roll.
Oh, re-roll. Okay, go for it.
Now, goddamn, it says 0 then.
All right. 0 keeps you from shooting anyone else, but you do miss Daniel as well, or you do miss everyone else, but you miss the.
I'm gonna reroll my mine by. Always completes his end of a deal. If I take this guy out, I'm, there we go. That's a good 3 on my 3? Punch with my right hook.
All right. That's good enough. He didn't. He's actually misspent against a police officer. And he doesn't have a box 3, so that takes him out. You're able to get in just as the officer is kind of holding him in bay there, and you get a good right hook in, and he goes,
"That's for shooting really close to me, bitch."
Dream, meanwhile, in the room, give me a notice roll.
That's
do really well, this. Because it's pretty foggy.
Alright. Alright. That's a one. No, it's alertness, right? So that's a three.
Alertness. Yeah, so three. Yeah. You notice that in the room, I mean, it's a pretty... There's not a lot in here. What is in here is pretty, you know, crummy stuff. It's not very well made. But what you do notice is there's a lot of expensive photography equipment, as well as some letters and schematics laying out that looks like they're being photographed.
What are the schematics of?
Different devices that are in patent. You probably think this is some of the stuff that Corey's company ships out.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, so meanwhile, at the warehouse. we have... So you took Fredericks with you, and so is Fredericks, a couple of cops, and Samantha pull into the warehouse. Fredericks is following your lead, Samantha, since at this point it's probably a guild involvement. If you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Sorry, I muted my mic again.
Sorry.
Okay, so we pull up, and is there any like guard at this warehouse?
There's no guards, but there's a lot of really burly guys kind of walking around. Looks like they're on lunch break.
All right. Is it obvious for us to find the container we're looking for?
It's a fairly big warehouse.
All right. Well, let's grab one of the workers and ask him nicely to take us to this box.
All right. Well, the worker really doesn't know what's going on, but he takes you to his foreman.
Hey, yo, what's going on? I'm Frank. What can I do for you?
We need access to this box, and I show him the manifest number.
Oh, I just got a call on this. Some deadbeat didn't pay up, huh? I got it for you.
Yep.
Takes you over to the back room. It looks like it's a cedar. It's a cedar crate. It's got a lot of metal around the edges. And on the manifest, it says that it's art.
Freddy, can we get this opened?
Yeah, let me get some crowbars for you. These are kind of special boxes, though. Hold on a second. I think I need a key, too. Goes and digs for a few minutes, comes out with the tools he needs, and gets some of the other guys to help him. I pop off the lid, and there's the sound of escaping like gas. And then... the warehouse it's filled with this just nasty, sickening odor. Inside, poor Corey, decomposing.
Ugh, as the lady that I am, I turn and I throw up.
Fredericks hands you his handkerchief.
Oh, thank you, Freddy. Well, I guess we found Mr. Corey.
It looks like he'd been shot a number of times and stuck to this box.
Ugh. Are we going to know how long he's been in the box? At least 3 days at the most.
That's the last time he was seen anyway, so
yeah.
That's the longest he's been in. And by the smell of him, it probably has been that long.
Is there anything that we could tell of, like, leaking, perhaps, our suspect to the box?
It'll take some time to go over the body, but you figure it looks like the guy didn't bother to clean out the bullet wound, so the bullets are probably still in him.
All right, can we dig them out right here and see if they match the bullets on my purse?
Unless you've got some kind of medical background, Fredericks doesn't. I mean, of course, I don't suppose you really care about keeping the corpse intact.
No, I don't.
Frank
really
offers to get a hacksaw, and, you know, he used to be a butcher.
we just want a bullet. I just want a bullet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Just give me an athletics roll there, and I'll see how badly you make the holes bigger on Corey.
Okay, that makes a 2.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Okay. You find one that's almost center of chest that didn't penetrate very far. And you have to widen the hole a little bit, but you don't make too big of a mess. And you pull the bullet out.
Okay. And I would like to compare it to the bullets I have in my purse.
Okay. They looked like they were probably pressed in the same mold.
Okay. Is there any other identifying marks that I'd be able to see? If they're shot from the same weapon, maybe?
That's going to take much more than you're able to do here. I mean, you're going to need a microscope from that. But from the size and shape, it looks like they were pressed in the same mold. I mean, that's pretty...
Okay.
Because remember, nothing is mass-produced, so right. The mold is going to be very specific to the bullet.
All right. Well, now we know Mr. Corey's been murdered, and we have probably the same person as who shot Elizabeth. Let's get the body wrapped up and taken somewhere to be examined more thoroughly, and then let's go back to the hospital, because I'm pretty sure the ballistic expert should be there by now, and I want to check on Elizabeth. Maybe she's coming around.
Okay, let's do wrap up then, because you've pretty much gotten it. Back at the apartment, was there anything else you guys want to do?
Before anybody else comes on, I just want to do a quick once over the schematics, and is there anything that has to do with Adrena's line of work?
There's some schematics for some new types of engines. There's some schematics for, the engines are for Zeppelin engines, specifically. They're very large engines. There are a couple of schematics for a new type of analytical engine, although it doesn't look like they've gotten very far in the design. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is stuff that's like really, very highly classified stuff.
Right. The Zeppelin is a little bit beyond me, but the analytical one, anything alchemical?
No.
The analytical engine, yoink. I'm sure I take those, wrap them up.
Is the officer all right? The officer that went down?
Yeah, he got winged. He's fine, though. It's a skimming graze on his shoulder.
Yeah. Good job, man.
They got the guy bound, and they've thrown him in the back of the car, though, and they're waiting for you to figure out what you want to do. So they'll take the keys from you.
We'll get Drina from... One of you go up and get Drina while the other and I stay here. And we're going to call Frederick, see if we can get a hold of Frederick's over at the warehouse, and we're going to tell Frederick's to torture this bastard.
Okay, well, Frederick's gets a call. You tell him what's going on, and Frederick's covers he's calling from the warehouse's line. And asks Samantha, is there anything you want to ask? They found the guy, they found his apartment, and they've got him.
Let's get him over to the hospital, because we're also bringing the kid to the hospital, aren't we? That way we could get a positive eyewitness ID that'd help tie things up nicely.
Okay.
Fine, we can get that also, but okay.
All right. We'll just wrap up then, unless you guys want to do anything specific. The short of it is... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to tell Frederick... Torture the bastard to figure out who he is and make him pay for the pain he caused. I don't normally say this, but this bastard.
Frederick is going to keep him in holding at the police station before they even tell the guilds anything about what's going on for at least one
also,
day.
Yeah, make sure you also try and get any information you can about who he was delivering the specs to. I have a feeling he might know our mystery fella. That's we've been looking into, if you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what ends up happening is the ballistic guys are able to match. All the bullets are exactly the same. They were, at least they were pressed in the same mold. They weren't fired from the same gun. But in the guy's house, you find the mold, and you find his workstation where he was making different barrels, so he had more than one gun. Just having that alone would be a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
And your kid does ID him.
Okay. Does Elizabeth wake up?
Hmm? Oh, does Elizabeth wake up? Yeah, it takes a better part of a week before she's before she comes out of her coma, but she's still in the hospital, but she's doing better, and looks like she will be making a recovery and a return to service.
Yeah, and I make sure to stop by and go, we got the bastard who did this. We got him. And he's paid. Does he spill any beans about anything, like who he was delivering the stuff to, if it was a guy in a mask?
It turns out that when you track down his references, that they were completely false. When you track down where the number was that they tried to verify his references, the guy was a spy. He was brought in outside of Metapol working for some foreign, another country to steal what he could as far as plans and engineering schematics for the war effort.
Hmm. Do we have any idea of how much he got?
No, it's hard to tell because Corey's suitcase is still missing. So over that period of time where he was being bribed, you have no idea what he actually got. I mean, they can go by the manifest of what they do have to figure out what he could possibly have gotten, but they really don't know what was taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna take. We'd have to go over like Corey's records for the last few months, or even longer, and like just to get a picture of what he might have gotten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
The guilds do take over all of that once it comes out what was going on. Since Corey's firm was guild sponsored, this does fall under their jurisdiction, which means you all do get a paycheck from it all. The $1,500, by the way, would have been enough pay for three people. That's what you figured what she was trying to do was to go and hire Drina and two other people to help her with her friend.
Always goes to Drina. She could probably hire the whole family. Maybe get a group discount.
I think we've done a thumping good bit of work.
Yes.
I think so. I'm going to call Joshua and take him out to dinner since I just got paid.
Since you just got paid, yes.
And since I also, Lisa may be having trouble with a job, I'll take out my bookkeeper friend that we never decided on a name for since I also got paid. Take her out to a nice dinner and see if she can hook her up.
There you go. Very good. I want you to track separately under your contacts there for Joshua Dare. Whenever you have to roll contacts from him, you get an additional plus one since you're actually trying to develop that as a relationship. Everybody will get 3 experience for this session.
Okay. So, just to clarify, whenever I try to use Joshua, I get a plus one?
Yep, you get to add a plus one to whatever you roll.
Okay.
And the same thing for your contact there, Daniel, since you have been bringing her up. And you know, you really should come up with a name for her. Otherwise, you keep meeting her in the restaurants by going, hey, you, how's it been?
Well, I'm never good at coming up with names.
I thought we came up for a name for her before.
I think we did.
Might have. Actually, I think I've got it in my little character handout here. Let me see, I've got an Abigail Banks written down.
I think that's it.
Okay, Abigail Banks. Abigail.
That's right, Abby. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Abigail. There we go.
3 points.
Drina, next time you want, if you are going to do any kind of research on an analytical engine of any sort, you will have a bonus to that roll. Just remind me that you have that schematic.
Let's see here. I think I know what I may be doing. I may be raising something awesome to a super awesome level.
So how was that one, guys?
Made me more happy.
Finished it.
That was satisfying.
That one just seemed a little bit easier. I don't know why. It may just be me.
We were all less tired.
Yeah, you picked up on the clues a lot easier this time.
It was actually to the point where it was like, they took some key piece of evidence. It's like, as soon as you mentioned bombs behind it, it was like, oh yeah, they stole some key piece of evidence. Then I saw the military man. It was like, yeah, it was a gun, yeah. Saw this, yeah. It was like, this is perfect.
You gotta work out a happy medium where they're not too tough.
What, the enemies?
the crimes.
Oh, gotcha.
They still got this great piece of software I've been using that's called FreeMind, where it's able, you can map out, I'm using it to create adventures with, and what it does is allow you to map out like a timeline and sequence of events. And this one gave you 6 different ways to find the information you needed. The last one you ran, I only gave you 3. Of course, if you guys came up with something brilliant, I would, put it in. But written into the story, that's how many different ways there were to get what you needed. So, yes, this one should have been a little easier.
What was the answer?
What's that?
What did we need to find?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What did we need to find for the last one? I've been wanting to know, and I don't want to wait for you to post something up that I know it's going to take forever.
The big thing you didn't do was actually search the phone booth. Everything you would have needed was there. There was a pool of the antifreeze that was not chemically the same as was in the warehouse, but was the same as was in his house's lab. That would have been enough. Other than that, you could have gone and interviewed the analytical engine worker that got bribed, and you would have found out he got bribed twice by 2 different people, and he could have fingered them both.
It's all right. All right. Interesting.
Yeah, so what went on with that one? As the guy was being truthful to you, he did bribe the one guy to vote positively for him, but that conversation was overheard by the guy that got passed up 2 years ago, and he decided that it was a way for him to take revenge, because in the interim of that 2 years that it took him to rise, he lost a lot of money. Had you gone through his financials, you would have found this out. He was banking on the fact that he was going to make it 2 years ago. And he way overspent. He lost a lot of his lands and titles over it. So what he ends up doing is he calls from that phone booth and get the guy to come out, claiming some kind of emergency. He kills him. And the person who actually showed up to do the committee meeting, that was the second bribe. He bribed the same analytical engine guy to send out another notice to a different person that he was supposed to show up, since he knew the original one wasn't going to show up.
These terrible, greedy people.
Of course. It's all about the greed.
All right.
I'm happy. I now have a skillet. Fantastic. Thank you. Let's see, that means the worst I can do on contacts is fair.
That's good. And some of you guys will be coming up on next adventure. After you've played 5, you get to choose another aspect, and you get another point of refresh.
Right, I was trying to decide whether or not to.
I'm still trying to figure out the last 3 last 2 aspects.
You should do that.
Probably.
And I need another stunt. Something cool.
listening. Remember that you can join our game or leave comments by contacting us at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. Steamsteelmurder is one word. Music of this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com.
Evil, evil men, I charge you with riotous rage. My rage is riotous at you. Nazis, reptiles.
You are scum. You are Nazi scum. I spit upon you. Tui.
Tui, tui.
Can you do something with this?
Are you joking? Oh, I'm going to throw up.
A healer who can't stand the sight of blood.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm working on it. Oh. Yeah.
And I want to buy some Denevian poppycock while we're here.
You're just going all touristy, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know.
We probably shouldn't bother him too much while he's aiming, actually.
No.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. And musical bats and flowing chocolate.
That's right.
No idea what I'm talking about.
Where did the musical bats come from?
I'm going to mute myself now, thank you.
Oh, come on, I'm throwing you bones here!
The Gutter Skypes.